Hey, it's Maz. Are you tired of small inconveniences that always turn into big headaches at home? Well, my friends at Rodenizer Home Services can make small fixes like repairing leaky faucets, adding or replacing electrical outlets and lights, or clearing slow drains that will provide big comfort for your home. And with over 10,000 five-star reviews, Rodenizer's expert technicians are just a call away and ready to fix those inconveniences at your home. Experience the difference with Rodenizer Home Services. Visit Rodenizer.com to schedule today. That's Rodenizer Home Services. Nice people, great service since 1928.
B-Pod Studios.
This is Over Under 98.5 with Joe Murray and Dan Lifshatz. Here are the Bankroll Boys. Who you got?
All right, we are live. It's the Over Under 95 podcast. He's Dan Lifshatz. I'm Joe Murray. We'll get it going. We'll send it out to the peoples.
Yep, just doing a little retweeting here.
A little retweet action. The Over Under podcast this week, week three. College football, NFL week three, NBA Eastern and Western Conference finals, all that on the docket here tonight. And of course, we got two Thursday night games, a Thursday night football, NFL, and a Thursday night college game, which we'll start off with. Of course, you guys can chat in. I guess we do have matching outfits, but I'm showing the chest hair a little bit, Dan. You know, I got the, I got the it was 80 degrees. Well, it was like 80 something degrees today.
Yeah, it was nice. It was real nice.
I mean, there's no Fran, dude, what's up? People calling you out about your wedding photo.
It's a portrait. It took one of those like flat against the wall portraits. So like it has like a side to it. So there's no frame on it.
I think it looks good.
Yeah, there's you don't put frames on portraits like that.
So again, Chatterman, I was very angry this morning, but it was because I had no sleep. You know what's sad, Dan, is I won money on the game. Like I had the over, which luckily hit. I don't know how that one hit. And
first half was rough.
And I'm just upset with the Celtics, and we'll talk about it, but. It's just they're here. It's 3 out of 4 years, and it's like, all right, yeah. I know they turn the ball over, but it's just like, you know. Well, we'll get into it. But it's just I don't know how other people aren't upset that like you've made it here three times and like it's not over yet. But you've made it here so many times, and like they just need a little bit of help. But I got my questions answered from Danny Ainge today. I said, "Hey, Danny, do you question not making a move?" And he basically said that, you know, the price was too high for him. And I, if that will help you sleep at night, I got my answer, and we can move on from it. So we need a big bounce back, Dan.
Yep.
I went 6-6. I'm not proud of it, but I actually had a winning week because I mean, you know, we do personal play. I think I'm just going to start either not posting plays or post all my plays. But like, I liked BC. I didn't give it out, and I bet it four different ways, and it hit, and they were great. So I actually had a decent week, and then I hit the over in the Sunday night football game, and I didn't buy the hook at 4.5. So I landed on 5, and there you go. So I think we're now like due. And what I mean by due is there are these people that struggle, like Jason Tatum, 0 points in the first half, goes off for 28 in the second half. I think we're due, man. And I don't want to give excuses because there are other cappers that are doing very well. And, you know, there's some that are just average. I just think when it comes to college football in particular, we have to understand the COVID times that we're in. I don't think it's affected the NFL too much.
No.
But I think in college, it's had an effect. Obviously, we've seen more games canceled this week. I just again, Navy, dude, Navy last week. You watch that, right? They looked like the Navy team that got their asses handed to them and came back to win the game. You can't cap that. But on the podcast, we did discuss we want to take them, but I think I wanted to take them. I couldn't do it. I just couldn't do it, and I couldn't do it second half either. I loved Notre Dame. I took them. But, you know, it was more of a South Florida fit. All I'm saying is there are more intangibles when it comes to college football. I think that's where I'm struggling. The Louisville-Miami game, I will take the L, man. Like, De'Ara King in Miami might be – this might be the year. Of all the weird years, this might be the year for them, man. I mean, who would have thought Oklahoma State's quarterback goes down and all of a sudden they suck? You know, it just – there was a lot – there's a lot of intangibles when it comes to college football that I think is probably more difficult for me than it has been for the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, I've been worse than you through 2 weeks. You know, there's no excuses. I've just been bad. And so, you know, we're gonna see what happens. I mean, again, we have a track record for the past. I think this is our third or fourth year doing college.
Third season.
Okay. So we have a track record. We were very good. So we have two bad weeks. The world's not gonna end. You know, obviously you guys have seen the people who are now tracking everything that we say and do. We discuss every single game on the podcast, every single one, every NFL game, every college game we discuss. Okay. That is part of our podcast. It's part of our shtick. It's why people like to listen is, you know, everyone can get a little something on every game. We're not playing every game. So if we say this is the way I would lean in this game, or this is what I would do, that's not a play. A play is when we have a podcast with the bell, with the PP, which I have to go get the bell. Okay. And I will in a minute here. All right. But you know, that's when there's a play. If you're tracking us, you know, on our leans and stuff. Okay. That's your own thing, because I'm not betting the leans. I'm betting the plays. So, you know, you're absolutely welcome to, you know, bet the leans, track them, whatever you want, more than fine. I'm just going to tell you straight up, I'm not counting it. I'm not tracking it. And if you're tracking us based upon that record, you're trying to defraud what we're doing here, because we discuss every single game. Both of us discuss every single game. We talk about every single game. We have our likes and dislikes in every single game. It is what it is.
And listen, I you know, we have a good following. I mean, I think the people that have followed us for 3 years, like, oh, you guys had a tough week, but, you know, we'll be back next week, and that's cool. I do agree to a point that, you know, I think we're one of the only places that actually discuss every college football game. I think maybe it's up to us a little bit when we say, hey, we lean that. It's kind of like, we don't – listen, in the end, it's you guys who make the decisions. And – dude, there are plenty of people out there who say, hey, based off some of the information you guys gave, I went 11-3 this week or whatever. I do want to apologize. So, dude, we do a Saturday show, and we're going to be going 2 hours going forward. I didn't know I made a play, and someone up my ass about it, and I just didn't know. So I'm going to apologize. I gave out an under. I didn't realize I did it. I think I was just, like, in the middle of, like, hey, let's get through it. No excuse. It's on me. I usually do bet all the PPs that we give. I bet them all. I did not touch that one. Unfortunately, I apologize. Not making excuses. I'm a fucking human. I made a mistake, and I apologize. So, Dan, we're going 2 weeks now, so there's really no more excuses about, you know, trying to cram things in an hour anymore. So I think what we're going to start doing going forward, because we're getting the 2 hours Saturday morning, is we're going to go through every single game. We're going to discuss it, show you the trends, show you what they did, you know, who's playing better or what. And then on Saturday, I think you're going to have to listen live. We're probably going to be closer to game time. You know, we're going to know who's possibly inactive or doubtful. And we don't have a crystal ball. We were very good at this last year. I just think that things are, you know, we're 3 weeks in. It's been difficult. And we got to adjust, man. Just like a team that's 0-2 in the NFL against the spread. We got to fucking adjust in week three, man. That's just how it works. Yeah. It's a fucking long journey, man.
Agreed.
So, all right. Well, enough of the fucking.
So here's the other thing. I'm going to be reading lines, because now we've been questioned about our lines as well. So we are using lines from Pinnacle Bookmaker. Okay. Right now at 508, I am taking the lines that are available. That's what we're using. Okay. So therefore, I don't want to hear anyone saying, oh, the line wasn't available. Here's the lines. Bookmaker. There you go.
Yeah. And Dan, I had an issue with that this weekend too. I started posting the plays, posting tickets. The Raiders was 4 on one, but we did discuss 6. We discussed 6. I know you had 7. I had to post the ticket because the line was 4. You don't know what you're talking. Dude, here you go, fucking bro. Here you go. So some people did. Hey, look at these tickets and these crazy parlays or whatever. Good, good. That's kind of my thing is like, hey, man, like if you're going to bust our balls, like post a ticket that you hit it. You know what I mean? Like, good for you. Like if you did, congrats. But yeah, and do it on Saturdays. We'll, you know, where DraftKings is a big part of our program. And I just like DraftKings. It's easy. It's fucking just an app and you open it up and it's easy. But they don't right now. We don't have all the odds that maybe Pinnacle would or Bet Online has that they make up early on. And you can say whatever you want about every book, Bovada, whatever. You know, I like, dude, when we do the show here, I use ESPN's odds. I use covers.com odds. So, you know, generally they're all the same-ish, but as I'm looking at DraftKings right now, they don't have some updated odds yet on games that we're going to talk about. So
I will use Bookmakers so that everyone has it, everyone can use it, and I don't want to hear any complaints about this is not a right line, this is not this, because it's all tracked. You can all see it on the Action Network app, the Sports Insights app, exactly when the lines are and where they are. So there you go.
All right, and that's enough of that. We start every show with a pitch session. So that's how we roll. Okay. All right. Tensions are high. Yes. The past few days. Yes. And we're back. I took a nap today and I ate a lot of pasta. So a big bounce whack. Post all tail at the end. Boom. That's Vegas Dave. Yeah. He hits 3,000 parlays a week. Miami by 100 on Saturday. We will discuss that game. Finn's money line. How about that one for tonight? We'll say that. We'll see how that goes. Wait until Miami plays in 50. I know people. There's those Hurricanes people that are out there. The bell.
It's here.
Dan's got the bell. Any NFL you feel strongly about, don't forget Jimmy Garoppolo is not playing this week. So keep that in mind. We'll talk about it. I think you guys need to have a disclaimer at the beginning of it. Maybe we'll do that, Dan. Like the viewers' indiscretions here advised or not.
I cannot believe we're actually at that point in society, but apparently we are.
Like the old Weiner line, they used to be like, hey, they don't speak for us. Like they had to do it because assholes around there. No. Leans are not plays. 2 hours. Yes, yes, yes. Separate record on the Action Network. Dan, why don't we guys keep it safe?
Because we do a show together. Our records are together. So we're not doing separate records. I mean, that would mean Joe would have to do everything himself, and it's just easier if I do it.
It's hard to keep up with Dan's picks when he blocks everyone on Twitter. All right, listen, if you said something,
this kid's a fucking douche. Like he always gets in with me on Twitter, so I blocked him. He's a douche. Don't be a douche. I won't block you, and I'm keeping him blocked. You're a douche.
And it's funny, Tommy writes to me, that's fine, but like whenever someone says, hey, can you tell Dan to unblock me? I'm like, what did you say to Dan? Like, and then they'll say, oh, I called him a fucking asshole. And it's like, well, no shit, he blocked you.
Yeah, so, what the fuck you expect?
Yeah, no shit. Jags is the play. Handsome human at that. What's up, Ben June? Line went down. Saturday show won't make podcast. What do you mean?
I have no idea. Saturday show will be podcasted just as normal.
Tommy, you'll hang in there, buddy. Okay, we'll get to go at over under 985. That's our Twitter handle.
Tommy, okay. Well, if you have a problem, DM the over under show. I'll show you the receipts, and then I'll block you on that handle too. Okay, you can that handle you cannot be blocked on. But stop being a douche. It's super simple.
All right, we are on Twitter. We are on YouTube, so people can chat in through there as well. So Dan. Hey, talk about plays. We do the okay. Another thing is that we give out plays on the players card via DraftKings during the week. So I gave out 2, Dan, this week. Okay. I gave out the Heat over, which hit, and then I gave one out for tonight's Thursday night college football game.
Nice.
UAB at South Alabama. I'm on South Alabama because you were praising them. They have a decent defense, maybe better than decent. good defense. They have a star wide receiver on their team, which I'll get his name. But this matchup is at South Alabama. This is the third UAB game in a row on a Thursday night. So it's their third. It's their third Thursday night football game. I think it might have been week zero. That's where I'm missing up there. But both teams are going to be without their quarterback. UAB's quarterback got hurt, who I thought was pretty decent. They're going with a redshirt freshman tonight.
I believe they're going with Lucero, right?
Lucero is right. Yep.
Okay. So yeah, go ahead.
I was just gonna say, their offensive line's still good. Their running game is still good. I love the home dog at 7.5 tonight. Now, this is off South Alabama blowing a lead last week. Was that Tulane? They blew a lead to Tulane. They had
that was 2 weeks ago. Two weeks ago.
So, you know, when I look at this team, I just love the home team in this. Now, listen, South Alabama is switching their quarterback as well. So we'll see how that one goes. I just think the defense and the home dog is the right side at 7.5. I know there's been a ton of – Dan, you know this. UAB has been a ranked team. They've been a ranked team, and a lot of people are going to see 7 points, and they're going to jump on it. Now the lines move from 7.5. What do you see, 6.5 right now?
Currently on Bookmaker at 5:15 p.m., we have UAB -7.5, -107.
Okay. I saw it move down to 6.5 earlier.
Yep.
So I don't know. That's my brief analysis on it. But my pick that I gave out was South Alabama 7.5 for tonight.
Yeah. So just a little bit of background. UAB is starting Bryson Lucero. Tyler Johnston, who was their returning quarterback, got hurt. He is, I believe, out for maybe not the season, but for a long while. So Lucero is going to be the guy taking over. He's a redshirt freshman. If you saw him, they did rotate Lucero in the first two games, even when Johnston was playing. Lucero is the much better thrower. Johnston's more of a playmaker, guy who runs around the pocket a little bit, tries to make some plays, you know, good in the run, you know, helps the run game, whatever. Lucero is the much better downfield thrower, makes more mistakes. Obviously, he's a redshirt freshman. That's going to happen. So UAB is probably going to rely on their run game a lot. Spencer Brown, senior running back, he's back. And then obviously Jermaine Brown and Lucius Stanley, who we've talked about on this podcast before. The three of those guys have, you know, are very good running backs and have continued to be, you know, a main staple for UAB. Spencer Brown got hurt last year, but, you know, and Brown and Stanley took over. But Spencer Brown, Jermaine Brown, and Lucius Stanley are going to be, you know, your main guys tonight with Bryson Lucero. On the South Alabama side, so Joe, from what I'm seeing, Desmond Trotter is going to start tonight, but they're going to rotate in the junior transfer, Chase Lovertich. Lovertich. And Trotter started the second game, got benched. Lovertich came in, played very well. South Alabama didn't win, but, you know, they made it pretty close. I believe that they're going to split time again tonight. I think either way you look at this, I think Trotter and Lovertich should both be pretty good tonight. I mean, they'll give a little bit of a different look, and so that's pretty important. Now, they, you know, You kind of talked about it, Joe. Wide receiver, they're going to have the Tolbert, Baker, Wayne, you know, trio going. The offensive line is very physical up front, okay? Returning a bunch of guys. They're very physical. The defense is very good. UAB, you know, again, we kind of saw their defense, despite the fact they gave up 31 to Miami, I thought was really good. They didn't cover against Miami because their coach decided not to go for it on a 4th-and-7, like midfield, when they're down by like 17 with 7 minutes left. So that made no sense to me. But if they go for it and they get that first down, you maybe they cover. So, you know, we're looking at a pretty good team there. The line opened, UAB -5, I believe, was the opening line. We're now up to 7.5. So you know what the sharp side is right now. Okay, UAB is definitely the sharper of the two sides. You're seeing 52% of the tickets on out on South Alabama, 77% of the money, which means you're probably looking at, you know, a sharper side. The over actually opened at 51, and I do know that there is one big sharp group who is on the under and took it on the under earlier. I don't know what number they got, but it definitely has moved since that point. Now at 47.5, the over is juiced to -112 right now. So, you know, I am not playing it, not playing. I don't know how many fucking times I have to say it. Not playing either side tonight. But if I was if you're going to ask me to choose a side, I would lean towards the dog in South Alabama. I do think that 7.5 is a lot at home, and maybe with a more public side. But 7.5 is a lot at home, especially for a physical team with, I think, two pretty good running back, two pretty good quarterbacks, excuse me. And I look at the under. Not just because of the sharper side, but because I believe that you're going to end up having a physical game. Okay, we know South Alabama is a physical team from the first 2 weeks we've seen them. UAB needs to be a bounce back team. They're going to, you know, they have a redshirt freshman starting tonight, so that means they're going to rely a lot on that running game.
Going on the road. Yep.
Yeah, on the road. Three very good running backs, including their senior running back. So I'm not playing either out South Alabama, UAB, over under. If you made putting a gun to my head, I would choose South Alabama and the under, but I'm not playing anything. There's no leads. I'm just telling you, if you put a gun to my head, that's the way I would go.
I took South Alabama at 7.5. So someone asked an interesting question here. Oh, sorry. Here it is. If you gave out that play as a player's card, is it considered a PP? I just want to confirm. Dan, I gave out a play. I don't know how you want to handle this one. It's a Thursday night football game, Sun Belt versus whatever.
I think if you're discussing it on the podcast now, would you like to PP it?
It's, I mean, I don't feel like it's one of my strong plays or anything like that. Okay, it's just, this is what they gave me on a Thursday night. We backed UAB against Miami and we got burned at 16 points. And then they didn't cover against the other guys there, the Coastal Colorado, whatever the fuck that team was.
Coastal Carolina.
Coastal Carolina, there you go. Was it Coastal Carolina? No, they played some shit team. First week.
UAB? Yeah, they played University of Central Arkansas, is that right?
There you go. Yeah, that's what it was. They're covering machines, that team. Anyways, I just like the way South Alabama's been playing. You make valid points about the offensive line and the three-headed monster at running back. Beware that UAB played this team last year and beat them 35-3.
Yeah, South Alabama was up there. They were a very different team, though. They didn't have Trotter, and obviously Lobertich is transfer, so they didn't have him either. The quarterback play has very much improved, and I think that the running game is obviously very much, or the offensive line, excuse me, has very much improved there as well.
Well, Dan, as they say in this world, scared money makes no money, right?
Yep.
Give me South Alabama because I gave it as a as part of the player's card. I'll make it one of my strong plays as a PP.
There you go. PP action. Can't miss that.
Disclaimer, you have the right to fade or follow.
South Alabama is currently +7.5, -109 on Bookmaker right this second. That is the line.
We'll have more college football coming up in just a bit here. The Thursday night football game, Dan. I'm going to just give you trends, and if you want to talk about the teams, you can.
Let me quickly give the line. The line is currently at Bookmaker. The Dolphins are +3, -117. The Jacksonville Jaguars are -3, +101. The over-under is at 49, either side, -108 juice on both sides.
Okay, and I'll just give you a local because I saw it move at one point. It was 3, and it's everything you said was accurate. Local, this is, you know, local guy down the street, +3, +115 Miami right now. So obviously there might be a little bit of money coming in. Miami ranks last in yards per plays allowed. Jacksonville's 26th. Jacksonville ranks first in third down conversion this year. Miami's 26th. Jacksonville ranks 25th in six sack percentage. Who cares? The total has gone over in 4 of the Dolphins' last 5 games. The average score, Dan, 54 points. What's the total tonight?
49. Opened at 44. Mm. So we've seen some heavy movement on the total.
the Dolphins as an underdog are 6-19 straight up in their last 25 games as a dog. They're 0-7 straight up and 1-6 against the spread their last seven games in September, because they're one of these teams that plays better late in the season because of the weather. The Dolphin, dude, there's so many trends for the Dolphins that it's like a fade. They don't play well at night. They're 5-15-1 against the spread at night. They've been walloped. When I tell you walloped, dude, on Thursday night football, I got to give out this trend. When I saw it, I couldn't believe how bad the Dolphins are on Thursday night football. The Dolphins have lost their last four Thursday night football games 140-37.
It's pretty crazy. It's pretty crazy. Now, who was that under as their coaches?
Did they play last year?
I'm sure they had probably one Thursday night game. Every team has won.
Yeah, every team has won. Yeah.
So that would be the one I'd put maybe some stock in. But you know,
I'll get it for you here. But dude, like, this seems to me, okay. Call me an idiot. Call me whatever you want. Does this seem super square that the Jags are favored? Like, dude, they were favored to win, what, three games this year? I don't know. I know that the what's his name's out this week, the wide receiver there for
DJ Chark has been ruled out for the Jaguars.
He's out. I mean, the Dolphins played very tough to the Bills last week. I mean, at least I thought they did.
I thought they should have won that game.
Yeah, you know what? They didn't play a Thursday night football game last year.
Really interesting. I thought everyone got one.
Yeah. So, and I'll look it up again. Their last Thursday night football game was against Houston. They lost 42-23. With Brock Osweiler.
Yep. So I was just talking about the injury report here, Joe. Byron Jones out for tonight's game. Okay, he's the corner, obviously.
That's not good.
Yeah, he is out for Miami. DJ Chark, as we know, is out for Jacksonville, as well as the starting center, Brandon Linder. So those guys are out. Josh Lambeau is out for the Jaguars, their kicker as well. It appears that everyone else will be healthy besides Clayton. Oh, boy. Fijadelum, who is a safety, and he is doubtful. Everyone else appears that they're going to be playing, even they're questionable. It looks like they got full practice or limited practices in. So everyone else should be playing. But big losses for Miami. No Byron Jones. That's really big. It looks like Xavier Howard is going to be a go. So at least you'll have Howard on one of the corners. And obviously Chark is a huge loss for the Jaguars offensively there.
One last thing. Jaguars, as a favorite, Dan, are 2-6 straight up and against the spread in their last eight games. So, in general, the last eight games they've been a favorite, they're 2-6.
Yeah, so currently we're seeing 70% of the bet and 67% of the money on Jacksonville. 72% of the bet on the over, 82% of the money on the over. So definitely a lot of over money. The sharps and the squares agree on the over tonight. We've seen the Jacksonville line open at -1.5. So, you know, maybe a 1.5-point home field advantage for Jacksonville, which is, you know, these days, you know, it's real hard in COVID to kind of tell where you're, you know, where, how you're feeling about that, you know, that home field advantage. So maybe 1.5 points, that's built up to 3 now. There are some 3 -110s popping across the board. We're using just Bookmaker as our line. So again, that's 3 +3 -117 for Miami and -3 +101 for Jacksonville. I look at this game, Joe, and I personally say, well, I thought Miami played a pretty solid game against Buffalo. I think their schedule has been really brutal so far, okay? Buffalo is clearly better than I thought they were going to be. I think that Buffalo, despite the fact that I did not think they were going to win last week, and I don't think they should have, going into Miami, especially now, is never an easy game. It's just not. So I give Buffalo credit for that victory. They started, you know, they opened the season up in New England. So, you know, you're facing, you know, the Patriots, who are much better than people thought, obviously, and Buffalo, who is much better than, you know, a pretty good team that most people apparently thought, and except for me. So, you know, give them credit there. Jacksonville, open up against Indianapolis, and they won that game. Credit to that was a really tight play game, divisional game. Yep.
And the trend showed that they own the Colts. I didn't see them winning, but they did. So definitely credit them for that one, no doubt.
Yeah, let's not forget
the Dolphins were a stupid interception away from covering against the Patriots. They could have kicked the field goal, kicked an onside. They would have been down 7. I get it. The Patriots
covered. They were also a fumble away from being down 23.
With three interceptions. I get it. I'm just going by, like, you know, sometimes it's how the game ends, not what happens in the middle of it, even though I beg to differ in some different sports. I just don't think the Dolphins have been as bad as we think, and maybe the Jaguars aren't as good as we've seen.
Yeah, so again, both teams, Miami 0-2 against divisional opponents. Obviously, the Jaguars lost 33-30 to the Titans last week. I think the Titans are probably the best team in that division with the Colts, so I think it's probably going to be a two-team race there, you know, seeing early on. You got to give the Jaguars a lot of credit for coming out, winning the opening game against the Colts, who no one picked them for. You know, they were 7.5, 8-point favorites, and then, you know, almost beating the Titans and, you know, making Gostkowski kick a game-winning field goal. I thought they were super impressive again last week. Now, again, you don't have Chark. You're facing a non-division opponent, so, you know, the knowledge base of the team is going to go down a little bit. I wonder what's going to, you know, how well Jacksonville will do running the ball, because I do think that Miami is going to have to key in on the run and make Gardner Minshew, you know, make throws, and unfortunately – Miami has been terrible against the run early, so James Robinson might have a night. But I still think that there is going to be – I still think that Miami should play pretty well. I would – if you made me – I'm not playing it. I'm not playing the game. I'm not playing it. No, not the total, not the side, nothing. I am not playing it. If you made me choose a side, Joe, I would probably go with the Dolphins just because I think that they're probably the better of the two teams. And I think we've especially talked about 0-2 teams in week 3 have an extremely successful, you know, historical rate of covering. Short week, I'll take the better prepared coach and the better prepared quarterback over, you know, what I think is probably a lesser team in Miami if you made me choose. So not playing anything.
Yeah.
No leans, just telling you what I would if you wanted to
play. I feel the same way here. Who knows? Maybe before I'll put something in, but I think every square better is going to take Jacksonville. And what are they going to go? Miami and Jacksonville is what, 4 or 5 hours apart, so there's not really much of a difference there. Since Ngakoue has been traded, there's no pass rush for Jacksonville.
Josh Allen is the only one up front who's really doing anything for them.
Yeah, and like, I don't know, I just think that helps Fitzpatrick. and listen, the Dolphins are still trying to figure out their running game, right? They play, you know, Gaskins has played better. They want Howard to be the guy. Is it Howard? Yeah.
Howard and Breida, yep.
Yeah, and Breida really hasn't even been a part of it yet.
Yep.
So, like, maybe they can run on this team. Fucking what an ugly ass game.
It is. I mean, this is like one of the worst Thursday night games you can possibly have.
This is like, dude, just save your money for, like, you know, I do have a bet for tonight in the basketball game. We don't have a pick on the NFL game, everybody.
I will give you something. If you can find it, LaVisca Chenault over. How about this? I'll even PP it for you. So there you go, okay? LaVisca Chenault over 3 receptions minus 115. Okay. That is on my local book.
Bookmaker, love LaVisca Chenault.
The bookmaker does not have any props. So actually, they might.
I'll tell you right now. I bet you DraftKings does. I'll tell you right now.
They have first touchdown scores. Let's see. Wow. I'm surprised how many props they have. First touchdown score. Yes. They don't have that. But if you can find a LaVisca Chenault. Oh, here we go. LaVisca Chenault over 4 receptions now. I got it at 3 minus 115. Ooh. Oh, 4. Yeah, you know what? Four is the number I would feel comfortable with. Four is not a number I would feel comfortable with, so never mind. I feel comfortable with three. I would even feel okay with a 3.5 if it wasn't heavily juiced, but you're playing 30-cent props. Minus
how about over under 42 yards? Some people saying the scene 3.5. Some people saying 4.
Yeah, three and a half minus 160 is ridiculous. Line, yeah. So no. There's unfortunately there's no value on Chenault there. I do think he'll end up getting a larger share of the action tonight because you never know what you're going to get with Tyler Eifert and Chris Conley should play. But I can't play 4 at any price unless you're getting some real good plus money. Maybe a plus 120, you might be able to find some value. But no, not playing minus 115, minus 120, minus 110, none of that.
All right. Well, so. You know what? This is not a PP, but you know what? For all these people who want to pick. Why do I do this to myself, Dan?
Dude, just stop. Just stop. Don't even do it. Listen, we've discussed the games. You guys know how we feel. There's no reason to force yourself into a play if you don't like it. That's exactly what we just talked about. You don't want to be doing that. So let's not go down that road and let's okay. move on.
Thank you.
Saving you.
I needed that.
Yep. let's discuss quickly the NBA game tonight, the Lakers and Clippers. Or sorry, Lakers and Nuggets. Should have been Lakers and Clippers. Lakers and Nuggets. And then if you want to discuss, if the people on the chat want to discuss the Celtics Heat series for 5 minutes, I think we can do that too. So again, using bookmakers' lines, the Lakers are currently -6, -108.
Hey Dan, talk for a second. I'm just do something real
quick. No problem. Yep, the Lakers are currently 6-point favorites, -6, -108. The total in this one is 214. Besides -108. Joe, you got to mute yourself, bud.
Yeah, Nicky might be there, but
apologies. All right, I'll try and talk to him. I'll talk and talk over. That's fine. The Lakers are -251 on the money line. The Nuggets are +216 on the money line. Okay, so I know Joe has a feeling on this game. No, this is not Joe. This is Andy from the Kowloon. So you haven't been to the Kowloon. Kowloon is a famous Chinese food place up in Saugus. It's on right on Route 1. It's fucking fantastic, dude. It is not the weak guy. It's Andy. Joe apparently does not know how to mute his mic there. So unfortunately he's gonna hear. So okay. Anyways, Lakers tonight up 2-1 in the series, -6, money line's -251. Total on this one's 214.5. So I don't really have a real lean to this game. I'd be very surprised if the Lakers ended up going down or ended up tying the series with Denver. I think first off that the NBA needs the Lakers in the NBA finals. Obviously, you cannot have a potential Denver-Miami NBA finals. It would just be an absolute utter disaster for the NBA. Not to mention, this is probably LeBron's easiest path to an NBA championship ring. I know that all the Celtics fans, especially in this chat, feel that the Celtics are good enough to continue that road. So, Joe, you need to learn how to mute your mic.
I found out how.
Okay, good. Yeah,
But, all right. Just so everybody knows, I'm going to the Kowloon tonight.
Yeah, there you go.
What's funny is I'm going to be watching the games on my phone, right? Like, Dan, I want a fucking scorpion bowl like you can't believe right now.
I can't drink. So
I heard you talking. Yes, I love how everybody like, is it Joe's weed? Yeah, it's the weed. Last week it was the boogie, okay?
At least you can own it.
All right, this week it was the Wong Father. All right? We got plans, you know what I mean? Dan, that's why we had to move. Thank you, Dan. That's why we had to move today. So, yes. Anyways, the Wong Father, Caddyshack, Saga's Wings. Betting, gambling, what better, right? What better? So you're discussing the game, right, Dan? The Nuggets and Lakers, is that what you're doing right now?
Yes. Yeah, so I mean, basically, I don't expect the Lakers.
It is hot as fuck. I don't care. Remember 2 weeks ago, I was like dying. I'm like, dude, it's hot. I was freaking out how hot it was. I'm a little comfortable today, but anyways. All right.
I got the slippers on. Yeah.
So I got to play. I got to play.
Okay. Yeah, hit me.
Dude, one thing I've been playing lately is team totals in the NBA. And it's worked. Last night I took the Heat team total over. It hit. I wanted to take the Celtics team total at 107, but I just didn't want to double dip. You know what I mean? I hit Denver team total the night before that. So tonight I'm going Denver team total, and I got it at 104.
That's what it's at a bookmaker right now.
Okay, yep. So I started at 104.5 at one point. I'm like, oh, shit. The Nuggets have scored 105 or more points in 20 of the 25 games inside the bubble.
So there you go.
12 out of 17 in the playoffs. I have the Nuggets team total over 104 tonight. P.
There you go. There's your bell. So the Denver Nuggets team total over 104 from Joey Burr. That is his PP in this game. I don't see the Lakers losing this game. I don't see the series being tied up 2-2. That is not true. There was a play on the football game. Clearly, you guys missed it. Not the NFL game, but the college game. So what I will say is that I don't see the Lakers losing tonight, Joe. I don't. I'm not playing it. I'm not playing it. I'm just saying I do not expect the Lakers to tie 2-2 in a series.
Just quickly, that defensive effort at the end of the game there with Rondo was outstanding.
Agreed.
They ran out of gas. And let's also tip our hats to Jamal Murray. Like, they scored like no points, and the dude just fucking jacks up two threes, and they go. And you know, Michael Porter is slowly. Dan, I know everyone loves Jason Tatum. I'm not going to compare Porter and Tatum. I'm not going to do that. But damn, if they can get Porter right, man, with Murray and Jokic, holy shit, that's a threesome. Again, he's got to be right, because mentally, I don't know if Michael Porter's got it. He says some stupid shit. But that, and let's not forget, whenever Bol Bol plays, he produces. So I'm getting a little too excited there. Anyways, this is discussion for another day. The Lakers are winning the whole fucking thing. And right now I'd buy it now. Just get it now. PP, team total,
it's too late.
104. And listen, there could be 99, it could be like 117-99 Lakers, and fucking Bol Bol comes into the game, and we'll start chucking up threes, and I will go over the total, and everybody will be like, yes! And you're going to be like, I love that Bol Bol!
Agreed. Yeah, I mean, they're going to be they're very much going to be yelling it. All right, so just before
real quick, someone just asked me over 104.5. I'd probably do it. Fortunately, you can't buy points when it comes to team totals.
Yep.
So my only thing for you on this one is you either ride it or you fucking wait and maybe it moves, or you get it at like a -115 or. Yeah, I don't mind paying juice a little bit. I don't mind paying 115, 120 sometimes. I don't care. But just because I think it's going to go over 104.5. Last night I took the Heat, it went way over 104. So that's all I have on that.
All right. So there's a guy a few questions back asked me about WNBA, what happened there. What I'll say is when there's no home road angle, it is much harder to find angles in the WNBA. So when everything is in the bubble, it's the same thing with the NBA. When it's neutral court, it's much, much harder to try and find angles. And I just haven't really found anything that I really super love. So I'm kind of going. I was going to give out the Seattle Storm at -6.5 game one. That one ended up getting canceled because the game was canceled because of COVID. Then they opened the line at 8, and I had no interest at 8. So, I mean, that was, unfortunately, it's kind of the point. Now they're back at 8 against the Lynx tonight. I tend to, think that that's a lot of points to lean against a team that you have now played, you know, that just played you pretty tough, and they have probably possibly returning one of their best players tonight. So I'm not touching it, but again, I just that's the reason for the lack of WNBA plays. I'm having a hard time finding angles that I like in the bubble. Just the honest to God truth. Okay, let's move on to the Celtics series. I got a lot of questions about this today, Joe. The Celtics are now, and it's actually going up, because there's a lot of people who are hitting the Heat series price right now, and it's gone up. Earlier today, the Celtics were plus 325 to win the series. The Heat were minus 400. It is now Heat minus 450, Celtics plus 350 to win the series. So an implied probability is what? 22-23% on, you know, on a plus 350. I'll try and see if I can pull it up here. Off the top of my head, 22.2 implied probability percentage. Now, we try not to get into models and specifics and closing line value too much on this podcast, because that's not the base and you guys are looking for plays more so or not. Okay. What I would say is, the Celtics being 22.2% to come back and win the series is ridiculously overvalued. I make the true odds personally around 7 to 8%. So I think the plus 350, plus 400, horrible line. I would not play if I was a Celtics fan. I gave you some chance at, you know, at 2-1 down, 3-1 down. It's going to be really, really tough to win this series. Now, I know everyone's asking about Bam Adebayo. The reports coming out of Miami are he's okay. He bent his wrist in a weird way last night. It was stiff this morning, but it's loosened up. He seems to be okay. So I'm gonna take them for his word, and we'll see if you guys want to wait on a game five and see what happens in that game before, you know, playing the Celtics series or whatever you want to do. Fair enough. I understand the angle there. I would say Adebayo most likely will be okay. Most likely. And I would say that if you're banking on Adebayo injury to help you win the series, you're in deep shit already. I think the Celtics plus 350 is one of the worst lines that I've seen. And I would personally not play it. I don't think the series is over, but I give the Celtics very little chance of coming back. I'm not going to declare them dead, like, you know, like 2-6 does, but I don't feel good about it, Joe. Not at all.
So I think that from everything I heard today from Danny Ainge, he's confident they're going to win the next game. That's what I would do.
That doesn't really make me feel any better, because Danny Ainge thinks they're going to win every fucking game.
Yeah, and what I mean is, I mean, I don't know. I think everybody can agree the Celtics have been capable of winning every game, but I don't think they win last night's game. I know 19 turnovers doesn't help. They've been in every game. I just think that they're a piece away. They're just not this year is what I'm thinking. So, gentlemen, sweep. I haven't seen a line, Dan. They've been favored every game.
Yep. The Celtics opened minus 2.5 in game five. It is now, of course, again, up to minus 3.5.
How many times you have to fade it. I mean, how the Heat getting 3 points? I don't. All I'm saying is, if I was to like the Celtics, that would be the game I'd take them. The gentleman sweep is on the table. Let's face it. Right now, I don't think Miami's the better team. They're the deeper team.
I could not disagree with you more. They are the better team.
Okay, let me rephrase. I think the Celtics have the talent, like the lopsided in talent. I think that the Heat are a constructed better team.
I think In terms of talent, offensively, the Celtics have more. Yes. Defensively, they have more. Yes. As I said at the beginning of the series, they are a horrendous mismatch. Horrendous. The Heat match up very well versus Boston, and everyone said I was crazy. You can't hide Kemba Walker on anyone. Daniel Tice is struggling very much against an athletic
By the way, that's the one thing. I thought it would be the perimeter issues for the big men. And early on, I think that was the issue. No. Kemba's become Isaiah Thomas without the offense. I don't want to compare the two. You had to hide IT on somebody back then.
And Avery Bradley was able to make up for it.
They don't have a guy, especially with the big. The Kemba issue has been a thing. It's been real. Maybe it's the knee.
It's not the knee. He's just a small player. In this series, Joe, Kemba Walker has a minus 19.4 net rating differential.
Wow.
A minus 19.4.
What was Tice? I think Tice was 16, I think.
I don't have the net
differential. I saw them, though. Kemba's was high. Tice was high. I think it's more surprising of Kemba than it is Tice. I don't know. I'm
not surprised at all. I do not think that Kemba Walker is a good defensive player. He lacks size, and you can't hide him on a Norm Powell. And I think that we're really seeing that this series. Miami is attacking that and taking advantage of it. Nick Nurse and Toronto did as much as they could with Lowry, but Siakam just wasn't enough on Tatum. And I think that Tatum got the much better at the end of that matchup. And, you know, Gasol was lackluster versus Tice. He probably, you know, got pretty close there. So what I would say is, you know, Kemba just doesn't match up well, and neither does Tice. And the wings, you probably match up okay, and I think they've stifled Butler a lot. I just think that this series is – the Celtics may win game five, and even if it's 3-2, I don't have any confidence that this team is going to win. They're fighting. They don't have defined roles. They absolutely do not have a closer. And you were there this morning, Joe, when you asked – when I think – was it you or Rich who asked Danny Ainge about having a closer for the team? They don't have one. And Danny pretty much said that. Okay, Danny pretty much said, well, you know, Jason Tatum is the closest thing that we have to a closer. And then you asked, do you feel confident in him? And he said, yes. So, yeah, you don't have a closer. You don't. Jason Tatum has not been good in the final few minutes of these fourth quarters. And I got to be honest with you, I feel the series is about over. I'm not declaring them dead, but I don't feel great about Boston. And I don't think I could back them at all. And if you really think that the Boston Celtics are a good bet plus 350 to win the series, by all means, enjoy. Because I think you're going to lose your money on a bad bet with horrendous value. And I think that that's why you're seeing Miami's series price already go up a little bit, because there's some legitimate meat on the bone there. Even at minus 425, even at minus 450, I think there's legitimate meat on the bone to play that line if you like to play those high lines. I'm not recommending it. I'm just telling you, I think in terms of the actual value, I think I'd much rather take the minus 425 than the plus 350. Personal opinion, Joe. So,
yeah, I'm going to wait till before tip off, but I don't know. I'm in that type of game, dude, like in a close, like let's just say it's a closeout. Like I just see a lot of fouls, I just want to know what the total is, and maybe I'll just go over. I don't know. Like three
total,
out of four games.
The total in the Celtics game is 213.
Ooh, that's higher than the last two. I don't like that. See, 209-210, I'm over. I don't like that. Right. That, and the other thing too, Dan, is, and I want to move on, but the Celtics have not played well in a close game in the series. They're either gonna get out on a big lead and be front runners and win, or they gotta play a close game and lose. That's the story. Not to mention that their key players, Smart, Tatum, Brown, lots of turnovers late in that game. That's the difference. I'm sorry. We can say, oh, they don't have this guy, or they didn't do this, or they fucking turn the ball over 19 times, you lose. All right. So we're going to take a little breather here. What I'd suggest is if you got your questions on the college football slate, get them going. The SEC starts up this week too, so if you have any futures on SEC, get those going. I actually have one, and then we can. I want to save that for Saturday too, Dan, because like I feel like that's going to be a good topic of conversation. But we just what we have to do now is take little spots. So let's take a quick spot break here. This is the Over Under 985 podcast. Get them in, people, and we'll start it off.
Hey, it's Maz. Are you tired of small inconveniences that always turn into big headaches at home? Well, my friends at Rodenizer Home Services can make small fixes like repairing leaky faucets, adding or replacing electrical outlets and lights, or clearing slow drains that will provide big comfort for your home. And with over 10,000 five-star reviews, Rodenizer's expert technicians are just a call away and ready to fix those inconveniences at your home. Experience the difference with Rodenizer Home Services. Visit Rodenizer.com. To schedule today. That's Rodenizer Home Services. Nice people, great service since 1928.
With the college football slate.
Hardcore baseball talk. Inside the ropes with wrestling talk. And where you should put your money with Over Under 98.5. Listen to the podcast at 98.5thesportshub.com and on the Sports Hub app.
You're listening to the Bankroll Boys. Follow them on Twitter at Joey Murr. At Dan Lifshatz, and send in your questions at Over Under 985.
All right, okay. Dan, let's start it off. Okay, so we already did get the Thursday night game. We need Friday. Man, I miss Mac football, but we do it Friday night. Middle Tennessee at Texas San Antonio. I'm out on Middle Tennessee. Out. Now, I thought Troy would beat him anyways, but, like, it was a fucking blowout. Out. Now they have to go on the road to UTSA, who's 2-0. Spread 7. What are your thoughts on this game?
So Middle Tennessee was overvalued against Navy and Troy. I thought that people really were super, super big on Asher O'Hara and were overrating this team. This week, I think they're being extremely undervalued. I do. I think UTSA is the wrong side here. I think that Middle Tennessee State is going to rebound against one of the worst teams in the Conference USA. I mean, UTSA is legitimately bad. I know they started 2-0. They have faced two pretty pathetic opponents, if I do say so myself, in my personal opinion. I really think they faced Stephen F. Austin, and they did beat Texas State. So I'll give them that. That was a solid win. Okay, so let's give them that one. Okay, I would say right now that if you really want to play in this game, it's got to be Middle Tennessee State. So, to me, Asher O'Hara is going to rebound. He's talented. He's just not uberly talented to win the Heisman, as some people are touting him. UTSA obviously starting Frank Harris again. I didn't like him last week. I didn't. They put up 24 points on a poor SFA team. And, you know, I wasn't super impressed by Stephen F. Austin at all. And, you know, they continue to kind of be that not-so-impressive team. So, actually, Joe, let's start it off. I'm praying to the COVID gods that nothing happens here. But PP, give me Middle Tennessee State +7 -115, okay? That is the line on Bookmaker. So, Middle Tennessee State +7 -115.
Okay. I have no play on this game. All I can tell you is Ashley O'Hare might not start. I don't know if they're just like playing the games with his head or anything like that. He's been bad. He has been bad. But you know, Dan, if this was different, I think we'd look at this and say 7 points is too much in this matchup. But the way that one these teams are going in two different directions, so something's bound to head. And who does UTSA have on deck? I think that's worth looking at as well.
They're facing UAB. I believe they have a look at it, and they're on the road.
You know, that's something to look ahead to. So, to your point, Maybe that's the side. So
I just think that Middle Tennessee State is a better team than UTSA, and I'm not going to give them a 6.5 point home field or 7 point home field advantage. I think that that's pretty wild for a team that really UTSA is okay, but they face two of the worser opponents in the, one in the conference and one in Texas State and one in a FCS team. So, I'm not very impressed. And I think the whole world's going to be on UTSA as well. So I'm very confident in that pick. I'm looking money line on that one too. So.
Okay. Let's look at some chalk quickly. Noontime Saturday morning, Oklahoma takes on Kansas State. 27.5 right now. I've learned the hard way with chalk. Week one, week two, it was different. Notre Dame obviously covered, Clemson obviously covered. Kansas State just seems like a formidable opponent, four touchdowns. But they don't. I watched that first game with them. They weren't great.
No.
Here's what I'm looking at. Just real quick. Here's what I'm looking at. If they think that, or if they make the line at 28, right, but the total's at 59 or 60, do you lean over automatically?
I mean, not really. I wouldn't just initially lean that because it's 28. I mean, are you expecting how much are you expecting Oklahoma to put off?
And not to mention, remember last year, Kansas State was leading 48-23 in the fourth quarter. And then And then did they beat them last year now that I'm thinking about it?
Kansas State, I don't think.
Yeah, Kansas State beat them in last year 48-41. That's right. I remember that. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right. Yeah. There you go. Okay. So you would know better than me. But I mean, again, you don't have Jalen Hurts anymore. You go with Spencer Rattler, who is a totally different quarterback. And yes, you're returning Skylar Thompson. He's not scared to go into Norman and win. But I mean
Kansas State lost to Arkansas State. And who's
I was going to say, but it wasn't just that they lost, Joe. It was Arkansas State beat that ass up and down the field. I mean, they moved the ball on them with relative ease.
And Rattler threw four touchdowns on 14 passes for 290 yards.
Now, again, remember
against like FCS or something. I forget who it was.
Right. It was Missouri State. It was Bobby Petrino in Missouri State. So, okay. I mean, remember the opponent. But still, I suspect that there's a reason that line is so high. I don't know. I wouldn't feel confident playing anything on the game, but I just don't want to back Oklahoma. I just don't want to back Kansas State coming off that loss. I mean, that was brutal. That was a bad loss, and I know they were missing a bunch of players to COVID, of course. But yeah, I don't feel comfortable playing Kansas State even at that number.
So, I'm going to lay off this game. I don't know if I really see any value in it, but I will say this: revenge game. Oof, it's there if. If Oklahoma wants it, that revenge game, Lincoln Riley, sitting on their lap, but they got to cover the four touchdowns.
Yeah, the spread did open at 28 on that one, and the total, which is now at 60.5 per bookmaker, opened at 59.5. 98% of the tickets are on the over.
All right, two top 25 games, Pittsburgh-Louisville. Louisville losing last week. Pitt did not cover against the Orange. Pitt was bad, 170 total yards of offense. We know that Narduzzi is going to have his team to play. They're at home. Kenny Pickett's in his third year as a start. Like, there's actually a good little quarterback matchup here between the two sides. Louisville hung around. Malik Cunningham's been good. I know he had that interception that didn't help last week, but these two teams overall play tough. They've played 17 times. Pitt leads the series 9-8. And I believe, yeah, the last time they played was 2015, so it doesn't matter. I just think the edge might be home field, but COVID times, right? Pitt's probably – Louisville's off the loss. Pitt underwhelmed last week. So I think the line's right here. This is a good game to watch.
Yeah, it is. you know, they're playing in Heinz Field again. So, you know, Louisville has had some kicking trouble. It's going to have some more kicking trouble. It's going to continue because that place is super hard to kick in, obviously, as we know. You know, Pittsburgh, we talked about having one of the best defensive lines in the country. You know, they really did a pretty good job on Syracuse. I mean, you know, they allowed 10 points to Syracuse. You can't really blame, you know, the defense for, you know, Kenny Pickett really not having a great game last week. But I mean, on the ground, just in total, Syracuse had 171 yards. So the defense is extremely impressive, for Pittsburgh. And I think they had 51 total yards on the ground last week for Syracuse on 34 rushes. Just in case you knew the math, that's a 1.5 yard per carry. Okay. So, I mean, Pittsburgh is extremely aggressive up front, very good up front. And Louisville, it just felt like you watched that game, Joe, because I did. And I was with you on that Louisville side. It just felt like they couldn't cover anyone. And I expect Pickett to be better. Now, Syracuse has a half-decent defense, despite the fact that, you know, DeVito was terrible. And it looks like they're just put time with Tommy DeVito and Rex Culpepper in this one. So, you know, he was better at least. So he should get some time this week, some snaps. I expect Kenny Pickett to be better. That's kind of my opinion. This is kind of crazy, but I'm going to PP Pittsburgh minus the 3, and let me get the exact line for you so that you guys have it from Bookmaker. It's Pittsburgh minus 3, minus 109. I just feel that as if this is going to be a game where the highly touted Louisville team struggles against the, you know, defensive team of Pittsburgh, and Louisville's not going to play any defense again. I do like Pittsburgh. Now, the under, I think, is something that we should look at because I still don't feel Pickett's going to light it up, and I expect the Pittsburgh defense to be super strong. I am not playing the under. I am not touching it. I'm just saying I do think that's going to be a play that ends up being sharp, for a lot of people. It opened at 55. It got up to 56, back down to 55. So I do think that's probably going to end up being the sharp side. I'm not on it, but I am going to play Pittsburgh and roll with that.
Okay, moving on. Saturday, SEC, Kentucky, Auburn. Just hear me out. Bo Nix is going to capitalize from last year. They dropped 50 points four times. Bo Nix threw for 2,500 yards last year, 15 touchdowns. He did struggle in that game against Florida. As we know, he threw only 6 interceptions. They went 9-4. They're back. Kentucky went 8-5. They're a rushing team. They get Tyler Wilson back. He got hurt last year, but he's back. They're a run-first team. We know about that Auburn defense, but they lost a ton of players. But KJ Britt is back. He's one of the best defenders in the country. And Kentucky's got a dude, Boogie. I forget his name. Good interior rusher. All I'm saying is this. Kentucky's record going to play at Auburn, not good. 6-26-1 all time, 2-12 when visiting Auburn. Auburn, one of the places that will have fans this weekend. 17,500 students will be at this game. The line's 7.5, Dan. I'm not PPing it, but I fucking love Auburn and I'd buy the hook.
Oh, I could not disagree with you more. I actually think this game is going the exact opposite way. Kentucky brings back the best offensive line in the entire country, maybe the second best. They were a top 5 offensive line last year, and they are going to be a top 5 offensive line this year. Auburn brings back, I think, 4 defensive starters. They are one of the most depleted defensive teams.
They had a bunch of dudes go to the draft, no doubt.
Yep, one of the most depleted defensive teams in the country. You look at the home angle, that's great. But again, I find it hard to believe that we're going to have a home angle with, you know, limited fans. Even 17,000 fans is like what? You know, I'm assuming like 25 to 30% of your capacity. I don't know the Auburn Stadium or, you know how much is that there. So I'm not going to put a ton of stock into that. I absolutely love Kentucky. I think that not only are they going to cover the 7.5, they're going to win this game outright. So PP, give me Kentucky. Bring back a elite quarterback who I think is better than Bo Nix? I mean, Bo Nix got a lot of hype, but I think it's because of the program he's in. Man, I love Kentucky in this spot. I think that this is Kentucky or nothing. I think that Auburn is a trap, super trap play here. I think Kentucky, there's a ton of value and meat on this bone, even at 7.5. I believe that it opened at 9.5. It's down to 7.5. It is the sharp side. The total in this one is sitting at 49.5, despite 82% of the tickets. So, you know, the sharps think that there's going to be some money there on, some points there. I love Kentucky. I love this team. Love them.
Lynn Bowden Jr. is gone. Mark Stoops, Gus Malzahn, good little matchup there. The defense of Auburn will be tested, but I just think they're going to get so many returners here. And listen, there might be a lot of hype on Bo Nix. There might be.
A little bit too much, and there's none on Terry Wilson. None.
Yep, and he's healed. He was injured last year, and he's got something to prove from last year as well. I just, for me, if I can get Auburn around that number, I'm in. But that's the square in me. That's all I can say about that one.
I'm not sure Auburn's square either. I think you're going to see probably a pretty good mix of tickets and sides. I'm just saying, I think that Auburn at the number, and again, I already have a Kentucky ticket at 8. I feel good about it. It's now at 7.5. I missed the early number in the week, which is 9.5. I like Kentucky to win this game outright, but I'm giving it out at 7.5, obviously. So
over in the last 5 meetings, 3-1-1. I'd actually look at that. It's
49
in an SEC game.
82% of the tickets early on are on the under.
I'm not going to bet this one. Florida versus Mississippi. I want to see what Florida. I think when it comes to the SEC on the other side, it's Georgia, Florida. That's it. Nobody else on that side. Florida doesn't have to go to Georgia. It's a neutral site in Florida. I want to see what Trask is. I want to see what Florida looks like. I want to know if they're still going two-headed monster quarterback. They're playing Ole Miss. They're two touchdown favorites essentially on the road. I wouldn't back that in week one. I want to see what they are. I am all over Florida this year. I think there's a possibility I might bet them to win the SEC. Still think Alabama is going to be the top team, and Georgia has a hell of a defense. But I loved what I saw from Florida last year. And, Philippe Franks was the issue, right? I mean, once Trask came in, they fucking were rolling. Plus, it's like a Dan Mullen, I look at that team and I just – the more I look at it, by the way, Lane Kiffin, coach at Ole Miss.
Yes, so the Lane train starting up at Ole Miss. I think you're a little high on Florida this year, especially. They've lost a lot. I mean, they lose CJ Henderson. Kyle Trask, we still don't know a ton about him. He's definitely good, but I think that he still has a lot left to prove. Georgia, we don't know because Newman opted out. So is it going to be JT Daniels? Is it going to be the other kid there? So you don't really know. I think Kentucky is a legitimate chance on that side of the bracket too. I think people are really downplaying this Kentucky team with a lot of returners, and especially in COVID, it's going to be really good. But 13.5 points, which is the line right now on Bookmaker. Let me just double check and give it out here. 13.5 minus 108 on both sides. Total in this one is 57. I don't have a feel for this one, Joe. Trask is should be good. We don't know who's starting for Ole Miss, if it's Matt Corral or John Reese Plumlee. It sounds like it's going to be Corral, but we don't know. I want nothing to do with this game.
What intrigues me about this game is the Florida defense gave up 15 points per game last year. So, can Ole Miss score? If they can score the two touchdowns, that's at home. There's something to that there. I'm not betting on this. It's just That's why we got to watch the games. You know, we got to find out where they're at.
At 12 o'clock is going to be a crazy window. You got Florida, Ole Miss, Kentucky, Auburn, Kansas State, Oklahoma. I mean, like you got some games. So you need like a multiple TV area and Louisville Pitt. So,
Yeah. And again, we'll blow through these two. I don't have much. I know you're a Georgia State Charlotte follower. Both 0-1. The line opened at Charlotte -1. It's now +3. I'm not sure if you like anything in that.
I'm sorry, the Georgia State. Yeah, so Charlotte Law again lost Chris Reynolds. We don't know if he's starting this week. Georgia State almost beat Louisiana Lafayette, took them to overtime. I know that everyone's going to kind of say, well, off overtime on the road in Charlotte. I still think Georgia State's favored by 2.5, 3 for a reason. I do think that if you're looking for a side in this game, I would probably take Georgia State, but I'm absolutely not playing this one, Joe. This is going to be a really interesting game. And in fact, most places, this is currently off the board because we don't know about the impeding starter. But Bookmaker does have a line, Georgia State -3, -101, Charlotte +3, -115. The total is 59, -108 on both sides. So, yeah, we're going to see Cornelius Brown, again, starting for Georgia State. He was really good last week. And it does sound like we're going to end up seeing Dom Schaffner for Charlotte instead of Chris Reynolds because he is injured. So, I tend to like Georgia State just because I think the line kind of gives it away. But there's not a prayer I'm touching this one. This is a pass.
Agreed. Nothing for me on that one. And then just the other one. Was Georgia Southern at UL Lafayette. How about those Ragin' Cajuns?
Yeah, 2-0 start, won last week, upset, almost lost to Georgia State, we were just talking about there. Georgia Southern should give this team a pretty good fight as long as they don't have half their team out to COVID, which is what happened 2 weeks ago, and their game last week was postponed. It does sound like Elijah Mitchell, the running back for Louisiana Lafayette, is out, Joe. He is their main player. So Levi Lewis is probably going to ask me to do some, carry some more of the heavy lifting. I would expect more throwing from them, which maybe you look towards an over because you're going to have to, end up doing that. I will say the over, the total opened at 53. It is now at, let me pull up the exact line for you guys right here. 51.5 -108 on both sides. Lafayette favored by 12. It's 12 on both sides -108. I'm going to say this is going to be a good game. 12 is a lot. I wouldn't touch this game. I think this is really, really pretty much numbers are spot on. I would not touch this one with a 9-foot pole. But if you're kind of into the lower level games, this Sun Belt division. The Sun Belt Conference, is going to be fucking fantastic this year. So it's a good game.
Okay.
All right, Joe.
And then obviously Georgia Tech Syracuse, just quickly on that one.
Yep.
I like the Georgia Tech running back. Poor man's RG3, 1-1 going on the road to Syracuse. Syracuse got whooped. They play, Syracuse first half might be something to look at, but they played North Carolina tough and then Pitt very tough. They're 0-2. They benched DeVito and then put him back in. They're at home. They haven't yet to play at home. Georgia Tech off of a tough game. And then last week against USF, I think they had an injury. And their running back didn't play for some reason. But Syracuse is getting 7 at home? Is it worth taking a looky here?
So the line is now currently 7.5, Joe, on both sides. It was 8 earlier today. It's at 7.5 currently. The total in this one's 52.5. Sims was, rather disappointing against Central Florida last week, the quarterback for Georgia Tech. Syracuse hasn't won a game. They're 0-2. But, Joe, they are 2-0 against the spread. As I said, they're going to split time this week. Rex Culpepper and Tommy DeVito are going to split time. Wouldn't be shocked if, one of them came away. Probably Culpepper is the winner just because, he did play much better last week. And Tommy DeVito just does not look good. I have no real lean. Syracuse 2-0 against the spread, getting 7.5 or 8 at home is a lot of points. It is. And, the total at 52.5, I think, is too high. I think if you're, you know, again, that's going to be squared open to 53.5, down to 52.5. And the public's going to be on an under on this one, to be fair. But, you know, I do think the total is a little bit too high. But, yeah, I got nothing in this one. I think this is going to be a really good game. And Syracuse has a chance to get their first win here. I do think so. But, I wouldn't touch this one.
Two more noon games. Campbell, Appalachian State, App State coming off a loss. I'll tip my cap. Marshall's defense was very good. And then that fumble from App State, that was a great play by the safety. He got beat by a tight end who wasn't looking. That could have changed the game. I'll tip my cap. App State also had a touchdown call back. But Campbell covered again last week late to Coastal. Do you see a line on this one? I don't.
Yes. Let me pull it up here for you.
Because Campbell, I think, is covered both games so far that they've – yeah, they're 0-2, yes. 2-0 against spread.
So it is 35.5 currently on Betta on Bookmaker.
So, dude, I'd take Campbell even though I don't know what App State will be after a loss. But Campbell's just been a covering machine. I don't know how you wouldn't continue to roll with that.
Yeah, you would think that App State is going to be pretty fired up after losing the Marshall. Yeah. That's not a good loss. And, you know, they're facing Campbell. Now, Haj Malik Williams has been really good for them through 2 weeks. So hopefully, you know, if you like Campbell, that's great. I like nothing in this game. I think this is one of those you have to see what App State's going to bounce back as.
Agreed. And then UCF, ECU. UCF is still that team that puts up tons of points. Gabriel played well but had a fumble late. They still got Otis Anderson as their running back. They're still a good team. They're decent, well coached. Their defense sometimes can have issues. They let Georgia Tech hang around, but they were on the road. I don't know if they can cover back-to-back weeks on the road with a big number. What was it last? Oh, last week was only 7.5. They covered outright. 28 might be too much, man. Back-to-back weeks. I don't know anything about Eastern Carolina this year. They haven't played a game yet. All I know is that Gabriel is going to score points. They're going to put up touch. They're going to give up points as well. I would not touch the total by any means. Can they go back-to-back weeks, covering a number 1 week and then covering a bigger number the next? That's a challenge that I would stay away from.
Yeah, so ECU gets Holden Ahlers back as their quarterback, Joe. Remember him? The sexy lefty. He is back again for ECU this year. This is going to be an interesting game. There's a bunch of people that think that this week that ECU is going to have a chance to cover, not win. I think the disparity between the two teams is too great, but has a real chance to cover and make this one at least interesting for a little bit. The total now, or sorry, the spread now is down to 26.5 at Bookmaker. The minus one weight on both sides. The total, Joe, at 77, opened at 72. They're pretty much telling you you can't bet this at a high enough number. It's going to have points and points and points. I want nothing to do with this game because I think that, as you said, UCF's going to have a hard time covering a big number on the road. Greenville, I think, is going to have fans, I believe, Joe, in ECU. So, you know, it's an interesting game for sure in the American. But, you know, you can't bet against UCF. I'm not touching it. Not doing anything in this one.
Okay, so that's it for the let's see what we had here. So that's it for the noon. That's it for noon, and then there's a 1 o'clock game. Okay. Florida International's playing their first game of the year. We had questions about Liberty last week. They played well. They won. They're now 6.5, 7-point favorites this week. I wish I could tell you about Florida International. I haven't seen them in the last 3 weeks here. Liberty, though, they impressed me. I was wondering what they would be from a week ago. Again, this is a game I'm off of. Maybe there's an edge here, but I have nothing. I'd have to look into it a little bit more, but I have nothing on this game.
So Liberty currently -7.5, -109 at Bookmaker. The total in this one's 58.5, juice to the over at -113. The problem with Florida International is we don't know who is going to start. The assumed quarterback is Kalen Wiggins, who was a backup last year. He's returning, obviously, as the Jets drafted I'm blanking on his name, but the Jets drafted the FIU quarterback, James Morgan. But now it feels, you know, it says on the depth chart, Kalen Wiggins or Max Bortenschlager, the Maryland transfer, or Stone Norton. So I assume it's going to be Kalen Wiggins, but it's really hard to bet this without knowing who's going to be the starter or if they're going to split time or what they're really going to do there. So I think this is one of those you really kind of have to see. Now, I like Liberty last week, Joe, and I didn't PP it like an idiot. And, of course, they win outright, which I said I liked and didn't do that either. So I'm going to own my, I'm going to own it and just say I fucked up by not taking Liberty last week. But there, I don't know what to expect out of FIU. I don't know who's starting. Malik Willis was really good for Liberty. I expect him to continue being good. He transferred. Oh man, where did he transfer from? Auburn? I think it was where he transferred from. But anyways, he was really good last week. I expect him to be good again. But I got no idea on this one.
Agreed. Nothing on that one for me. Moving on. Tulane. Woof. And then Southern Miss. You jumped on Southern Miss again. I was on them week one. You're on them week two. They suck. They're on the list. Tulane, 3.5 going on the road to USM. I'm out. I'm out. Don't do it. I know what you're going to do. Don't do it.
Yeah, no, I want to as well. I really like Tulane in this spot, Joe, but I absolutely won't do it.
Out.
You blow a 24-point lead to Navy, even at home. You know, a 24-point lead. No, Navy is an impressive team, and they can come back. And now we ended up hitting that over. But the fact is that you should not lose to that team if you're up 24-0 to Tulane. Just shouldn't. It's not an excuse. Now, they beat South Alabama. In South Alabama the week before. Impressive win. I'll give them that. On the road at Southern Miss, I expect Tulane to go out there. I expect Tulane to kick some ass. I expect Keon Howard to continue playing really well. I expect Southern Miss to get a lead, choke it away, and blow it again and be 0-3. But no fucking way am I backing Tulane in this situation. I want nothing to do with this one. Nothing. But you know, Tulane's going to be the heavy public side here. 80% of the early bet on Tulane. The spread has not moved, sitting at 3.5 on Bookmaker. The total, let me make sure that is still the exact same, too. Tulane. I'll see if I can find it here. But I believe it's still sitting at 54. Okay. Let me see if I can do the little control F here because I can't find them. Yeah, 54.5 -108. Spread 3.5 -108. I want nothing to do with this game. Tulane is going to be the public side. It's the side that I prefer, but I would never play it, and I'm not going to now.
Okay. Missed the game here, but Iowa State tries to bounce back from their opener. They're going to play TCU. Here's what I can tell you about TCU that I know. Their quarterback, Dugan. What the fuck's his first name?
Max Duggan.
Yep. Got COVID, had a heart defect at one point, didn't think he could play football anymore. He played decent as a freshman last year. Down the stretch. And they played a good game against Iowa State last year, but they lost 49-24. Brock Purdy was very good. That was kind of like one of Purdy's big games last year. There's something there with a home game. And Duggan with something to play for just based off the fact that he might not have been able to play this year and the COVID and all that bullshit. But it's hard for me to fade Iowa State in the spot. But TCU at home, man, they're just one of these teams that just – Patterson, I don't want to go up again. People are going to bet the shit out of this game because of the low line. And I think a lot of people are going to get behind the quarterback, Purdy. So, like, for me, Iowa State won this game last year. I still think they're the better team, and at the low number, 63% of the money I just saw was on TCU at home. The total at 44 might be something to look over at. Two and a half to me seems really just like square as fuck for Iowa State.
Okay, so Joe, the one problem with TCU is Max Duggan is not starting this week.
Okay, there you go.
Matthew Downing is the starter. Now, Max Duggan has been cleared for football activity, so we may end up seeing Downing as the starter. They may go to a two-quarterback system early on before Duggan regains the role entirely. We don't really know. TCU was at one point at 4.5 when it opened. It's back down to 2.5. This one, Joe, is impossible to play. Impossible. Because if you want to back TCU and Duggan, I get it. Home dog. I think that is, you know, probably the sharper of the two sides. Purdy was terrible versus Lafayette. You know, what makes you think that Campbell's going to have them ready versus Gary Patterson and TCU? I don't know. I expect Patterson will have Downing ready. I don't know what to expect from this game, Joe. I think this is one. Let's see what TCU is. Iowa State had a rough week one. Let's see if they bounce back. Maybe a second half play here or a live bet. I just I don't see a reason to play this one, even at the total of 44.5. This is one of those games where I think it should be a really good game to watch. Spread 2.5 on both sides, and the 44 total juiced at -113 at Bookmaker currently right now.
All right, we got a bigger slate than I anticipated today, so let's get to the goodies here. Texas Tech. We know this is going to be a good one. Totals at 70. I'd start there. Over. Just to have fun with it. Texas Tech getting 17.5. Texas going on the road, Dan. I don't like giving more than 2 touchdowns on the road. But Texas looked very good in their opening game, I got to tell you.
Yeah, I mean, not to mention Texas Tech barely held on by the skin of their dicks, I think is fair to say, against Houston Baptist. Home against Houston Baptist. And they won 35-33. Alan Bowman was not super impressive. 38-52, 430 yards, 2 touchdowns. But against Houston Baptist, who, by the way, allowed like 60 to North Texas or something stupid. Like, it just wasn't that impressive a performance. Texas won last week. We're going to see what happens. The spread is huge. If you're looking at something, maybe the Texas team total could be interesting just because of how bad that Texas Tech defense is. But I think that if you're playing anything in this one, I think you're asking for a shitty outcome, because if you're playing Texas Tech, there's a chance that defense absolutely blows and gives up like 90. And if you're playing Texas, there's a chance that they give up a backdoor, you know, because they're on the road in Lubbock. And this just feels, again, another kind of stay away game. I think we need to learn more about the teams.
Agreed. There's other games at 3:30. I think personally, West Virginia, Oklahoma State. What's the status at quarterback? Still not high on West Virginia since they've had all the turnover there with, you know, with Will Greer and everybody. And I know they played some tough games last year. I mean, what's the status with Oklahoma State's quarterback this week?
Yeah, Spencer Sanders. We don't have an update. He was apparently had a high ankle sprain, which means you usually don't fucking play with a high ankle sprain the week afterwards, almost never. But he's listed atop the depth chart this week. So, you know, that sounds like it. It's hard to fucking play Oklahoma State this week. It's hard because you don't really know, you know, what's going to happen there. But he is listed atop the depth chart, Joe.
Okay.
Yes.
Seven. And listen, I've been burned like with Oklahoma State versus West Virginia in the past. Not like I'll never forget, dude. Fucking Will Greer. Dickhead. Yep. That dickhead.
The spread in Oklahoma State opened at 8.5. It is now down to 7. Let me get the exact line for you. You know, obviously, because we have to do this shit now. 7. Oklahoma State is 7 even. So no juice on that one. Total sitting at 51. Oklahoma State, you know,
Dude, check this out.
Open at 8.5.
Mountaineers 0-4-1 last 5 meetings between the two. Under 5-2 in the last 7. The underdog 3-1-1 against the spread the last 5 meetings. So whatever that means. If you like trends, that's on the table for you. I'm not betting that game. And then Army Cincinnati is interesting to me. 3:30 game. Army's been rolling. Cincinnati, as we know, is blow out their first game. I think they cut. Yep. Although they didn't cover the 40 or whatever it was.
No, they did not.
The total just seems so low to me at 45.
You don't think that's right?
It just seems low. I actually don't know where I saw. So Cincinnati's loaded. Like they have Fickell is a great coach. The whole team came back. Army pretty looked much. Good, I thought, at least in the first week.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they were pretty good last week. They won 37-7 against Monroe.
Let me just give you one thing.
Yep.
Army is 0-20 against ranked opponents in the top 25.
Yikes.
Since that goes back to 1996, dude.
Yeah, I mean, the total is really low. Christian Anderson probably going to get the start for Army. Desmond Ritter going to get the start for Cincy. You don't really know a ton about Army. They face Middle Tennessee State and Louisiana Monroe. So, you know, two bad teams. And you don't know much about Cincy. They beat Austin Peay and didn't cover. Austin Peay, there you go. They didn't cover. And so, you know, it's just two very good defensive teams versus quarterbacks who, you know, highly touted, at least with Ritter. I don't know. I think you look at under or nothing, but there's not a chance in hell I would ever touch this game unless you're looking under it. I still think even then 45 is too low. It opened at 46.5. Maybe if you got it at the opening number, but you just can't play it at 45.
UTEP 2-1 goes to 0-2 ULM. I don't have much. All I can tell you is the line opened at 8. It's now ULM's 10. They're 0-2. Line's 50. UTEP has they're 1-2 against the spread.
UTEP's two wins are against two of the worst teams in college football: Stephen F. Austin and Abilene Christian, two FCS teams. So, you know, don't let the record fool you. They lost 59-3 to Texas, and you know, Monroe is not much better, if they're better at all. Fifth in the Sun Belt, they're going to be the last in that team in that division, in that conference. Lost 38-17 to Texas State and 37-7 to Army. The spread in this one, let's see if I can find it. Monroe is -10, totals 49.5. This is just a fucking don't touch it.
Yep.
Just don't.
All right, let me give you one here. 3:30, Mississippi State versus LSU. LSU has two starters coming back. They're ranked fifth in the country. They're the national champ. Mississippi State's getting disrespected here. It went from 19 to now 16-17.
They have Mike Leach. Mississippi State is bringing in grad transfer KJ Costello from Stanford, who runs the fucking air raid. So it's not like Costello's good, and it's not like he's going to have a problem adjusting to the playbook because they run the same thing. This is a Leach team getting 17 on the fucking, you know, in fucking LSU with no fans. Like, what? 17? It's a fucking crazy spread.
Something's not right. It's Mississippi State or nothing. That's it. It's Mississippi State or nothing here.
It opened at 19, down to 17. Currently, right now, the legitimate line is 17, plus 17, minus 113. Total 57.5 on both sides, minus 108. Mississippi State or nothing. I will absolutely not be playing this, but I will be fucking rooting like hell for Coach Leach and the Cowbells. Cowbell, baby. not a PP.
Duke, Virginia, I've watched both Duke games, played tough against Notre Dame first week, and then they sucked against BC. BC turned it on second half. Duke's 0-5 against the spread the last five meetings. They're not good against Virginia. 1-4 against the spread the last five meetings. And as who's the underdog? Who's favorite right now? Is it UVA?
Virginia favored by 5.
So the underdog, though, has played well in this meeting. The kid Bryce is good. He's good. I think it's a lot of the guys around him, dude. They're not good. UVA has got a great coach, right? They lost their star quarterback, their star wide receiver. Like, they're a new team. They're going to have to get acclimated, right? I'm out on this game. What's Virginia this year?
Yeah, I mean, we don't know what starting quarterback Brendan Armstrong is going to be. And I think that's kind of what we learned with Chase Bryce early on is, you know, maybe if you get you get to take an unknown guy against a big spread. But this is 5 points in Virginia, in Charlottesville. You don't know what Chase Bryce still has not thrown a touchdown, to be fair. But he has looked good. Duke, just as a general, neither of those teams have looked good. So we'll see. I have no idea what to expect in this one. Like, literally whatsoever. Not at all.
7:00, Alabama, Missouri. Alabama, obviously, we know. Mac Jones, Najee Harris, whatever. Missouri stinks.
You missed the game. Hold on.
Ooh. Oh, yeah, BC?
No, 4 o'clock, Georgia, Arkansas.
Oh Jesus, Georgia. I think Arkansas was planned on being the worst team in the SEC this year. And I think they've lost every game last year by a total of 31.5 points, I saw somewhere. Thing with Georgia is, you know, JT Daniels, what are they gonna, Georgia's defense is outstanding. They're returning so many good defenders. I hate chalk, but on the let's just ask. Georgia or Alabama? If you're gonna take one team to go on the road and cover 27 or 28, which team are you taking?
I don't know who's starting for Georgia. It's tough. We don't know who the quarterback is.
Yeah. Because I think Alabama's going to roll. The total on that one's 55. I think they're going to win 55-0. Georgia should roll. It's just, can their offense score, right? Their defense is great. It's just, we don't know what's going to happen at quarterback with them.
Yeah, we don't know if it's going to be JT Daniels or DeJuan Mathis for Georgia. I mean, that's going to be interesting to see. I would suspect it sounds like it's going to be DeJuan Mathis, but I don't know. And Arkansas is going with Florida transfer, your boy, Joe, Felipe Franks. So he is the starting quarterback for Arkansas this year. God. The spread's 27.5.
We should just fade it now. Just fade it now. We should just let's just call it a day.
I mean, I know the rest. 27.5 minus 114. You might get a 27 soon.
If he left and just went to the Red Sox, maybe he would have gotten a start this year. Do you know that Jeff Driscoll as well was drafted by the Red Sox, I believe, the quarterback of the Bengals? So maybe these guys should start going to baseball. Fucking Arkansas, dude.
Maybe the Red Sox should stop drafting football players.
That's a good one there. Yeah, dude. We got to watch Georgia. Got to watch Georgia. You have to, you know, is their defense as stout as, you know, it's been hyped? Who's going to be their quarterback? Newman opted out. Daniels, they have another kid that they like.
Yeah, DeJuan Mathis, so I think is going to end up starting.
I think so too, actually. So we'll see on that one. And then we already do 4 o'clock. Yeah, and then BC Texas State. Listen, BC looked good last week. Jerkovic looked good last week.
He was. Yep, he was good. I was wrong about that. He was very good.
Do I think they should beat Texas State by 2 touchdowns, maybe
3 touchdowns?
But now we're looking at, and their kicker is not good. I watched him; he sucked. So, not gonna play it, Dan. I know people will look at it and say, "Oh, that Texas State team," but you know about them, you know?
Yeah, they're. I mean, listen, it sounds like they're gonna split time between Brady McBride and Tyler Vitt. We don't know who is gonna be the starter for Texas State. Boston College is gonna go with Jerkovic. Jerkovic. I was wrong last week, by the way. You were right about the pronunciation. It's Jerkovic, not Jerkovic, which sucks because it sounds way better as Jerkovic. But Jerkovic will be the starter there. This one's weird. Texas State is not a terrible, terrible team this year. They're improved. If Brady McBride plays for them the majority, they should be better. I don't like Tyler Pitt. Stay away. I don't see there's a massive advantage here. I think BC minus 17 might be a little underwhelming, but there's no meat on that bone.
SMU bounced back last week. They were 14.5 point favorites. I think they fucking rolled. And then they're playing SFL Austin. I don't know what the line is, but that's just SMU or nothing. If you ask me.
I agree there. Yeah, it's 34.5 right now.
Okay, they should cover that. Should. Could be 34.
To be fair, they did not cover the big spread against Texas State week
one. Right. So, that's right. You know. Houston Baptist, Louisiana Tech. Again, I got nothing on Houston Baptist.
Oh, I will tell you that La Tech is starting Aaron Allen this week. So not Luke Anthony. Aaron Allen is starting for them, if that makes any difference for you. Houston Baptist almost upset Texas Tech. It feels like a letdown spot potentially for them. The spread in this one is 23.5. It opened at 27. Now 23.5. Yeah. So there you go. That's the info on that one. I got nothing for you there.
Tennessee goes to South Carolina. Fucking hate Tennessee. Not like you hate Illinois, but South Carolina at home has been good. We know about their upset over Georgia a year ago. We're open to 3, sitting at 3.5. Tennessee should be improved, no doubt, right? We all know about some of their familiar guys that they have.
Running back, quarterback, Jared Guarantano.
Who was decent? I thought he was good last year. Will Muschamp, South Carolina. Love what he's done with that team. They got Colin Hill as their quarterback.
From Colorado State.
He was decent. You know, the thing, from what I've heard, South Carolina's defense is down. I just, is this Tennessee, because, dude, you know these Tennessee people do their fucking, Tennessee won last year 41-21. And now South Carolina's at home. Maybe the over is the way to lean. 50, oh, geez, what was it again? 43, dude. Whoa.
Yeah.
43. Holy crap.
It opened at 46 and a half. It's down to 43. I mean, I will tell you, the Sharps are absolutely wrecking these SEC unders this week. They are hitting them early and often.
But they've practiced. That's the only thing I can say about them. Like, they've been practicing through COVID. A lot of these other schools couldn't. BC could. But, like, a lot of these other schools couldn't. So, that's a good game. I want to circle that one. Is there any value in a home dog here? Is 43 too low? You mentioned the Sharps. Tennessee's got something. A lot of hopes for Tennessee this year. And obviously winning by double digits a year ago has a little something to it. I'm circling that one. I want to get back to that one on Saturday. How about Kellen Mond and Texas A&M? Kid's back for his, like, 10th year. Vanderbilt stinks, as we know. 30.5-point favorites. Kellen Mond, dude, is like Dak Prescott. That's where Dak went, right? I mean, he's like, that's what he is. That's just, he's been there for fucking ever. People love Texas A&M in the SEC this year.
Do you think that Kellen Mond will ever be a legitimate starting NFL quarterback?
You know, I don't, but I think he can. I think he's a good football player. Like, I don't even know if he'll be a quarterback, Dan. I don't even know. I just think he's a good football player. He reminds me of Tim. Dude, it's so funny. They did a thing on him. He said, his favorite player is Tim Tebow, of course, right?
Yeah.
But, like, when I watched a lot of the video, he does remind me of Tim Tebow. And I know you'll get the Dak Prescott because they went to the same school, whatever. But it's so funny. They both have that jump pass. I think he's a good athlete, good football player. Is he a good quarterback? Probably not.
Fair enough. Yeah. So, I mean, anywhere you lean in this one specifically, Joe, we don't know who's starting for quarterback.
Vanderbilt stunk. Jimbo. They want to cover that 31.
Vanderbilt has the depth chart is at top of quarterback, Ken Seals or Mike Wright or Danny Clark or Jeremy Musa. So they're not telling anyone, excuse me, they're not telling anyone who's going this, although apparently the small reports are that Ken Seals probably will be the starter, but there's no guarantee, yada, yada, yada. So, I don't know. Sounds not great, if you're there. Without knowing who the quarterback is, it's really hard to bet this one. So if you're looking for something, maybe a team total, if you either like Vanderbilt or like Texas A&M, whatever. But other than that, it's super, super fucking hard to bet this one.
Okay. Kansas-Baylor. Baylor fucking still hasn't played a game yet. Kansas, we saw them that week one against Coastal Carolina. I get nothing. I just don't know the Baylor angle here.
So we actually have to go back and talk about the Alabama game after this, but
I mentioned it in passing. I think they're going to roll 55-0, but go ahead.
Okay. Yeah. Whatever. So let's just do Bama. We don't know who's starting quarterback in Missouri. Mac Jones is starting for Alabama. I would expect them to be very, very, very good. The spread is 27.5. Double check here. But, I mean, yeah, 28 now, minus 28, 56 is the total. So, I mean, that is just that's ridiculous, in my opinion. So, Alabama or nothing, I'm not touching it. I might look Alabama team total if you're looking for something, because we don't know who is exactly starting for We don't exactly know who's starting, Joe, for for Missouri at quarterback. Excuse me. I don't know why it took that took so long to get out. So once we find that out, we'll be able to kind of get some more info on that.
Okay, we have 7:30 FSU Miami. How do we fade Miami this week? How?
Not with this Florida State team. I mean, maybe I guess if you wanted to fade Miami, you could just look at the under. By the way, you have to go back to Kansas and Baylor because we never ended up talking about them. So Florida State, I think it's hard to fade this team. I mean, I just don't know how you do it, Joe. I don't know how you do it. We got already up here because we got like a little bit left. We only got like half an hour left. So Florida State to me is going to be an unplayable side for the foreseeable future until their offensive line gets better. Miami should roll, but again, they're also, you know, coming off a really emotional victory. This is a nothing for me, nothing. Another spot that's obviously going to favor Florida State, but it's hard to back them in these certain situations, especially right now. So Kansas Baylor, Joe, Miles Kendrick is going to start for Kansas. He was very good a few weeks ago. Baylor obviously is returning their quarterback, Charlie Brewer. And, you know, so it's Baylor's opening game. 17.5 points is the spread. I think that's a lot, for a team that is opening Big 12, lost a lot of their talent, hasn't played a game, has had multiple games canceled on them. So I got to be honest with you, give me PP, and I'm going to get the line here for you exactly because I don't want anyone to freak out again this week. PP Kansas plus 17.5 minus 105. So Kansas 17.5 minus 105. The total now 162. But yeah, give me Kansas. Absolutely. I like them to cover that.
Okay, we have NC State, Virginia Tech. This game was supposed to happen 2 weeks ago, but got moved because of COVID reasons. Virginia Tech has quarterback Hendon Hooker, 18 touchdowns last year. He was pretty good. I actually like what he had to offer that team. I liked what the Wolfpack did last week. Obviously, they snuck out the 3-point win. Their defense was horrendous against Wake Forest. It was horrendous, but I thought their quarterback was decent to me coming off that type of game last week for NC State. Now going on the road, I think this is a really good spot for Virginia Tech.
We don't know who's starting at quarterback for NC State. That's a problem. It's going to be Bailey Hockman, who started last week. It's going to be Devin Leary, who was the scheduled starter and then didn't end up starting for them. So that makes it pretty much impossible for me to really like a side in this one. But yeah, Virginia Tech was super impressive with Hendon Hooker last year. I would expect that to continue. I don't see why, Hooker would stop being good. So, if you want to go off last year, Hooker got a lot of attention for his play last year. A lot of attention. So final game, Joe, final college game, Troy BYU. All right, this is the final college game of the slate. BYU's quarterback, Zach Wilson, out with COVID, said he got it during a gambling night.
Whoa.
A gambling Provo Mormon night, which, by the way, apparently, according to the religion, is illegal. So he may be suspended. No idea what's going to happen with that, but geez. Troy rolled over Middle Tennessee last week. BYU crushed Navy a couple weeks ago. So I think this is a game that if you really, really want some late night action, live bet it. I don't know how much we learned about Troy last week. I have no idea what we're going to get from BYU this week. New quarterback, probably got to run a different system. The defense is still great, but the total on this one now, 61 on both sides per bookmaker.
Ooh. So I like BYU. It's just do they cover two touchdowns? That's it.
And yeah, with
their quarterback not playing, they looked so good against Navy. It wasn't even funny. They looked unstoppable.
Open 15 and that. Yeah, but Navy didn't tackle. So,
You're right. No, you're absolutely right. But they looked good. Like they're lying. I know. They didn't look good. All right. Well, take a quick little breather here. And then we're going to knock out the NFL and call it a podcast. He's Dan Lifshatz. I'm Joe Murray. It's the DraftKings Over Under Podcast.
Hey, it's Maz. Since 1928, Rodenizer Home Services has been your trusted local experts for all your plumbing needs. From bathroom and kitchen fixtures to leaking pipes and water heaters, Rodenizer offers you the higher standards of professionalism. When you have questions, Rodenizer has answers, all backed by their 100% customer satisfaction guarantee. Their motto is simple: nice people, great service. So experience the difference today with Rodenizer Home Services. Visit Rodenizer.com to schedule today.
For baseball talk, inside the ropes with wrestling talk, and where you should put your money with Over Under 98.5. Listen to the podcast at 98.5thesportshub.com and on the Sports Hub app.
You're listening to the Over Under 98.5 podcast. You can find all of our documented picks at Dan Lifshatz, at Joey Murr, and at Over Under 98.5 on Twitter. You can also listen to us Thursdays with Toucher and Rich, 7 to 7:20 a.m. to discuss everything that's going on in the sports world of betting, the NFL, college football, and any other sports league that is going on that week. Make sure to listen to us 7 to 7:20 a.m. every Thursday on Toucher and Rich.
All right. All right, Dan. Cleveland, Washington. Woof.
Hello, Chris. Ugh. Is this the worst NFL game that we've had all year? Is it worse than Jaguars Dolphins on a Thursday night or Browns Bengals? Like,
it sucks. I have any trends on this one? I was just trying to look it up quickly because I had. Okay, Washington ranks 31st in yards per play on offense. They're the worst third down conversion team in football. But the Browns are 5-0. Their last five games as a home favorite. But they're also 5-14 straight up after a win. Seven might be too much here.
Seven is a lot. A whole touchdown, a whole score. Total is 45. The number is 7 -108 at bookmaker right now. I think if you look at this one, this is tough. I think this is a game that we're going to want to avoid. And I'm going to say this, Joe. Week three last year, you go back and look at the scores from week three last year, right? I think there was a lot of adjusting to the first 2 weeks, and then week three kind of defenses kicked it in the high drive. I think we're going to see some of the same this week. I do. I think we're going to see some of the same, and I think that we're going to see some unders this week. The total's been flying over, all over. I had the Packers under last week, went way over. So I think we're going to start seeing some unders. I think maybe some defenses will start catching up. So, you know, what are you going to get early on in this one? It's going to be interesting. Baker Mayfield, you would expect him to be better at home. I don't know, man. This is an ugly game, the ugly total. I feel like there's no meat on the bone anywhere on this one.
All right, Patriots, Raiders. I like the Patriots. I'm just going to PP it. I see 5.5, 6.5. What do you got?
Well, let me get the exact bookmaker line for you. The Patriots -5.5, -108 right now. Total sitting at 47.5. So you're taking Patriots -5.5?
PP.
There we go. Patriots PP -5.5 from Joey Murr.
Just some trends. Raiders are 0-5 straight up and 1-4 against the spread their last five games against the Patriots. But again, they haven't played them in a while. The total has gone under in the last seven home games for the Patriots. So keep that in mind as well as far as the total goes. But the Raiders just, dude, their last 20 games overall on the road, they have four wins. So, and I don't have a against the spread on that one. But I just think this is their offensive line's beat up. They played on Monday Night Football. Jacobs is hurt. Waller
did not practice today. Did not practice. There you go. So, you know, we don't even know if he is going to play.
Scheduled loss.
Okay. I got to play on this one, too. Patriots, Raiders under 47.5 PP. I like the under for the same reasons you kind of just talked about. Jacobs is banged up. Waller is You know, he has not practiced. Even if he plays, he's obviously not going to be 100%. I thought the Patriots defense got embarrassed last week, and I expect Bill Belichick to be riding their ass this week. I expect a bounce back performance. Same with the Raiders. I didn't think that they played super well against the Saints either, and I expect their defense to pick it up a little bit. You know, they have a good run defense, but I do think that they do struggle against the pass. Cam played so well last week. I don't know if he's going to play as well this week. So, yeah, I'm going with the under there.
0-2 teams, Dan, that struggled. The Texans are one of them. They're on the road again playing Pittsburgh. The line opened at 6. It's now 4. Juju Smith-Schuster did not practice today.
Yep.
Might be I don't know if he's doubtful yet. But
so the rumors on the street is that this was scheduled to miss practice yesterday and today, and he is going to play just like last week. So that is the rumor, at least, that's out there.
I thought Houston was the spot last week, and I didn't take it, but I thought it was the spot. I don't think Houston can afford to go 0-3. I don't know. I'm torn. I feel like this is a Houston or nothing. They're an 0-2 team. They usually favor the percentage is very good for teams 0-2 playing in week 3. I got nothing on this game.
Okay, I'm going to PP the under. Again, you're gonna sense a theme this week in the NFL with me and the unders. Pittsburgh, Houston, under 45. The total should tell you Pittsburgh's defense is fucking nasty.
Like total under in 8 of the Steelers' last 10 games overall.
They're fucking nasty. And the Houston defense, in my opinion, is still being underrated. I expect that Smith-Schuster will not be 100%. Deontay Johnson got a full practice in today, but he's not 100%. James Conner's banged up. They lost already part of their offensive line. Like, I expect a defensive battle in a bunch of these games this week. Defense is kind of picking up, so I'm going to roll with that. Pittsburgh Steelers and Houston Texans, under 45, PP.
Crazy stat here. The last 12 games that Pittsburgh plays at home against a team that with a losing record, they're 12-0.
Now, by the way, the sharp side, Joe, Houston, Pittsburgh opened at 5.5 down the 4, so you definitely are on the sharper side of that one.
Tennessee, Minnesota, both these teams are 0-2 against the spread. Now, I know Tennessee's 2-0. Minnesota, dude, I mentioned this last week. They were 0-6 going into Indianapolis. Now they're 0-7. They're not as bad as they look. And obviously, they opened as a pick'em. Now they're getting 2.5. What did I see on this one a little while ago? So the Vikings are ranked 31st in points allowed. It's not good. The Titans are very good on third down. The Titans are a very good road team as well. But we got the 1 o'clock start. We got Kirk Cousins. And early in the season, at home, their last 11 games, they're 9-2. They're also 15-5 in their last 20 after a loss. I feel like they cannot start 0-3 in that division.
Yeah, I mean, you would expect that. If they're 0-3, the season for them is in serious trouble, if not over already. You'd expect the Titans to run the ball and try to play a ball control game. The total in this one's 49, though. So this is a pretty high total, up from 45.5. Let me get the exact total on this one. Is 49.5. Now, excuse me, 49.5 is the exact total on this game. I'm telling you, this is a weird game, Joe. It's almost a must-win for Minnesota, but they need to have a huge week from Kirk Cousins to Adam Thielen. Must have a massive week, and it's going to be interesting. This is an absolute stay away from me. I want nothing to do with this game.
What do you got for the Bears and Falcons?
Yeah, so we don't know if Julio Jones is going to play. It sounds like he's in serious danger of missing the game. The Bears, relatively healthy. The current line on this, let me see if I can pull it up here. Falcons are -3, -123. Bears +3, +107. The total sitting at 47. There's a lot of money coming in on Atlanta. A lot of money coming in on Atlanta this week. And, you know, I mean, what do you expect? Mitch Trubisky has been okay. The Bears defense has been pretty good. 2-0. It's a must win game for the Falcons, right, Joe? 0-2.
Oh, they have to bounce.
Losing in the worst fashion to Dallas. That was the worst fashion.
So the Bears are 1-5 against the spread the last six games on the road. You know, playing on the road is an issue for them.
Especially with Trubisky.
They did win and have that comeback win against Detroit, but they didn't cover. That division, dude, huh? Right now?
I think the Packers will end up winning the division. Man, the Bears Yeah, we did. No. But the Bears are relatively, in my opinion, very impressive early on. Still, 2 weeks into the season, super early. You know, and probably should have lost the game against the Lions.
I can't touch Atlanta, though. So I'm not going to take the Bears. I can't touch Atlanta. I'm out. Off.
Yeah, total in that one is 47.5. I want nothing to do with that game.
I want to get your thoughts on Buffalo in a second here, but let's just talk about two 0-2 teams.
Okay.
Cincinnati's played well, right? They're 1-1 against the spread, but Philly's 0-2. They were dog shit the last 2 weeks.
Carson Wentz and the Eagles had a chance to take the lead on the Rams, and he throws an interception, and from there just unraveled.
So I think they showed something last week. The Rams were just better.
Yeah,
but Cincinnati has a little bit of a pro offense. Two 0-2 teams. If I had to put money on a team not to be 0-3, it's Philly. Plus Burrow going on the road to Philly. That again, there's no fans and all that, but I don't know. If I was going to pick a team to not be 0-3 between the two, it would be Philadelphia.
Yeah, and me too. And that total is now sitting at 46.5 juice to the over. Again, I would look maybe under. You know, if Jalen Reagor's out for Philly, torn UCL in his thumb, so he's out for a while. The Bengals are, you know, relatively healthy, I believe. But Philly has decimated injuries all over, which is, you know, not a surprise. They're just always injured.
I have some crazy stats about the Bengals.
Yeah, hit me.
9-2 against their spread their last 11 games as a road underdog. They're also 9-0 against the spread their last 9 games versus the Eagles in general.
Opened at 5.5. It's now down to 4.5, Joe.
Crazy.
Yeah. I don't want anything. I would say the under would be the gun to my head play, but I would not touch this one. I would not touch it. So no, I'm not doing that.
All right. What do you got for the Bills? What do you got for the Bills?
Yeah, so I think I owe a mea culpa to the Bills fans right now. Now, listen, I'm not going to tell you that your win against the Jets was impressive. It was not. I don't think you should have beat the Dolphins. I think the Dolphins, if they don't get stopped on the one-yard line in that drive, they end up winning that game. So I wasn't super impressed with that win either, but I am impressed with the way that Josh Allen has played, and I think that I owe a mea culpa apology to him because he's been impressive, man. You know, he has definitely been a very good quarterback. Now, will that continue? Let's see. But Buffalo opened 3-point favorites at home, down to 2.5, and I'll get the official line on Bookmaker here so no one has a, you know, fucking shit fit over there on Twitter. It is now plus – the Rams are now plus 2, minus 113. The Bills minus 2, minus 103, total sitting at 47. I got nothing to do with this one, but – it's hard for me not to back Josh Allen with the way he's playing. Again, I am not playing this. It is not a play. I have no money on this. There will not be a play on this one until I say so. And I'm not saying so. So I wouldn't touch it, but it would be hard for me to go against Buffalo if you made me choose.
When Buffalo's a favorite, they're 10-1 straight up in their last 11 games.
Okay. Yeah, it's probably all under McDermott too, or at least pretty close.
But the other thing is that the Rams are very good on the road, 9-2 straight up. What was that? I just saw 9-2 against the spread in their last 11 road games.
All right. The absolute shit bowl at 1:00, Joe. This is the worst. This is the worst, right? This is probably the worst game on the schedule. The 49ers and Nick Mullins go into East Rutherford and MetLife Stadium and take on Danny Dimes and the Giants. Giants are 0-2. 49ers 1-1. Beat the Jets last week. Lost Jimmy Garoppolo. Deebo Samuel's out. No, who else is out? The running back's out as well.
Mostert's out.
Mostert's out. Thank you.
Bosa.
Bosa's out with a torn ACL. Solomon Thomas is out with a torn ACL. I know we're missing a few other injuries too. On the other side of the coin, Saquon Barkley's out with a torn ACL. Sterling Shepard has turf toe. Doesn't sound like Golden he might be able to go.
But they're bringing Devontae Jackson now.
I mean, my God, this game, fuck me. Absolutely just disgusting.
So I feel like the squares are going to be on San Fran, and that kind of worries me on that one. Dude, no play. Out.
San Fran opened at 6.5. Now, again, I don't know if that was a sharp move to the 4 or if that was an announcement that Jimmy Garoppolo will not play because there were rumors that Garoppolo would play, so maybe they baked that into the line. That moved quickly to 4, and I'll get the official line for you here. It's now 3.5, so now these 49ers are now -3.5, -108. The total is 41.5, -113. So either way, Joe, I still think San Francisco probably wins this game. They probably find a way. Nick Mullins is not – oh, yeah, thank you. Thank you, listener. Richard Sherman is also out. So they're continuing with the cornerbacks there is just ridiculous. I have no fucking idea. I mean, I assume that the 49ers are probably going to win this game. But I don't want to fucking play this game. I got no idea what Nick Mullins is going to come out and throw like. And no, we're not going to give leans in this shit.
Yeah, I think he's ball busting.
Apparently, if we do, we get tracked. It goes against the record. I lose your mind. Yeah, no. So, I know you're just ball busting. So, anyways, I just fuck this right. game. I did not. No.
All right, so that's the 1 o'clock slate, Dan. Yep. 4 o'clock slate. Jets, Colts, vomit. The Jets are brutal. They're fucking brutal. They're 0-2. The line went from 7 to 11.5, dude. Seven to 11.5.
Yeah, super. I'd say sharp, square, everyone's going to be on. By the way, breaking news, Pac-12 is going to play 7-game slate starting in November. And I assume that means the Mountain West is right behind. By the way, their Twitter is annoying without the – oh, annoying to them, not us. Okay. I was like, come on, man. Give us a little bit. So there you go. Yeah, the Jets are so bad. The Jets under 6.5, which we took at the beginning of the year, looks so good, Joe. Like, this team sucks. Like, it's dove our poor friend Fred into a goddamn depression over the Jets. I mean, they're so bad. The Colts at 11.5, Joe. I mean, like, it's got to be a Colts or nothing, right?
Yep.
Okay. All right.
This game blows.
Yeah, the Colts. I mean, again, I don't think the Colts are losing this game by any means. But I mean, my wife is going out and in. So anyways, the Colts are they're gonna win this game. I'm not touching the spread, I'm not touching anything in this one. All right, let's hurry it up. We got a few minutes here, Joe. I know you gotta be out of here. So 4 o'clock, Panthers, Chargers, the Chargers starting Justin Herbert again, 6.5-point favorites according to Bookmaker. -101. They may drop to 6 soon. Total in that one is 43.5.
Just can't. The line's a lot. Chargers look decent. Carolina's without McCaffrey. I can't put money on Carolina right now without McCaffrey.
And I said this morning that, you know, the Chargers probably end up winning this game. But starting a rookie quarterback getting 6.5 fucking points at home. Whew. This is another game. It's one of those games where if you want to play a total in this, I can understand that. By the way, the total in this one's 43.5 right now. -108 both sides, but it's just it's extremely hard to want to have a play on the side of that. All right, Bucks Broncos, Joe, -6. The Bucks on the road favorites at the Broncos, 6-point favorites, -6, -103. The total in this one is 42. What do you want to do here?
I think Vic Fangio blows. Driscoll looked decent. Brady's not had success there. That's a fact. They snuck out a cover last week, that team. I think I'd go back to the well one more time.
The Bucks?
I think, listen, I don't love it.
This is one of those has Brady played in Denver type of games.
I meant, yep. And, well, I'm just trying. So the only thing I'll say is, right, the Broncos are, whenever they play like in that afternoon spot, they're 5-1 against the spread. Going back a lot.
The total on this one's super low, too. It's 42. I expect we're going to see a lot of play on the over. It opened at 44.5, so it's definitely been sharped down. I wonder, Joe, if this is a Bucks, you know, Bucks defensive front versus Broncos struggling offensive line and banged up wide receiving core versus the Broncos starting front and versus the Bucks banged up on, you know, starting core, and I especially the offensive line. And I wonder what we're going to get here in this game. You're going to get in New England. New England's going to watch Tom Brady, so it's going to be interesting. I may have a play on the total for this one Saturday. About that, I may have a play on the total for this one and the Chargers game Saturday. I'm looking at these. No promises. We'll see, but I may have one. All right, Lions Cardinals, Joe. 4 o'clock. Cardinals are 5.5-point favorites, -108. Total in this one is 55.5. Lions on the road, 0-2. 2-0 Cardinals at home. What are you doing here, Joe?
Cardinals are going to be loved. Detroit's not going to get it. I don't know. The way that normally I'd love to take the trade here. I'd love it. Can't do it. Can't do it. Won't do it. Mike Singletary. Won't do it. I'm out off this game. But I've been on Arizona the last 2 weeks. I'm not going to take them this week, though.
Okay. I got nothing. Cowboys, Seahawks, 4 o'clock. Seattle, -4.5. Let me double check that for the official line. -5, -113 on Bookmaker. And the Cowboys, +5, -103. Total in this one is 56. So Seattle, big home favorite, again, coming off last week. I thought Seattle struggled against the run. I thought they struggled against the big play defensively. I thought the Cowboys finally got something going offensively. Do you think that the Dallas has a chance in this one, in Seattle?
So, Dan, I'm going to PP this one.
Okay.
The Cowboys and unders, again, the total's 56. They rake on the road in the under. They did under against the Rams this year as well. Under 56 Cowboys in this game.
There you go. That's your PP bell.
Right, it's just
there.
It's money, dude. I can get you the stat. I don't have it now. The unders roll in Cowboys road games.
Interesting. All right. Sunday night, Joe. Packers Saints. Packers are, I believe, 3-point dogs on the road to New Orleans and Drew Brees. Total in this one is 53. I thought Brees looked horrendous on a long week on Monday. So it's a short week for them. Green Bay continued to roll. They put up a shitload of points against Detroit. It doesn't sound like that Devontae Adams is going to suit up. The Saints will not have Michael Thomas again. So two main wide receivers out. The total on this one, again, sitting at 53. What are you doing in this one, Joe? What are you liking? Because I am very scared of Drew Brees and those Saints. They are looking trashy.
History shows Saints are 5-0 against the spread after an against the spread loss in their last five. The one thing I saw that stood out here, the over, the last 9 games between these two teams have gone over. An average of 61 points.
Wow.
But you mentioned no Thomas, no Adams.
Doesn't sound like it's going to be Adams. It's going to be active. Yeah.
So that's the right there. The over is just hit constantly. So
opened at 55, down to 53.
Okay. I'd probably still go over, man. But I again, not a lean or anything. It's just that number in 9 games. That's a really good number there. Same quarterbacks, you know?
All right. Final game Monday night. Chiefs Ravens. This is the game of the week. This is probably one of the best games of the year, Joe. I think everyone's going to be watching this Monday night. Yeah. Unless you're a Celtics fan, they make it to Game 7. Or that,
you know, I love the Chiefs. Bet the Chiefs all the time. I'm going Ravens. PP.
All right. Ravens minus 3.5 PP. And fuck it. Let's make it a double PP. Minus 110. Okay. The Chiefs plus 3.5, minus 106. The total in this one is 54. Double PP. That's our first one of the year, I believe, on the NFL. Yeah, the Chiefs really struggled last week, man. Really struggled. And I expect Lamar Jackson, the Ravens, to continue their role. The Chiefs defensively are, you know, they have some holes. They really do. And I think they're going to struggle versus Lamar. This Ravens team is a lot of tight ends. I'm not sure how well they match up against, you know, the Chiefs match up against those guys either. And as I said, the total on that one is 54. Juice to the over. So that's it. That's the pod.
Saturday, 2 hours. We'll break it down more. The NFL was fast. We'll do that.
Yeah.
We're right on time, Dan. I got to go.
Yep.
So 2 hours and 15 minutes. I'll download this. It'll be out. I'm going to have to get it to you later, unfortunately.
Yeah, that's okay. Yeah, so the podcast will be out late tonight, and it will be I will put it out.
You watch it on Twitter.
Yep, and I will put it out late tonight.
On YouTube, too, if you want to just grab the YouTube video. All right, he's Dan Lifshatz. I'm Joe Murray. We'll talk to you guys Saturday morning at 7 a.m. It's the over. It's over under 985.
Who you got?
Later.
Hey, it's Maz. Since 1928, Rodenizer Home Services has been your trusted local experts for all your plumbing needs. From bathroom and kitchen fixtures to leaking pipes and water heaters, Rodenizer offers you the higher standards of professionalism. When you have questions, Rodenizer has answers, all backed by their 100% customer satisfaction guarantee. Their motto is simple: nice people, great service. So experience the difference today with Rodenizer Home Services. Visit Rodenizer.com to schedule today.